Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. I have a new headset microphone thing, so if I'm not sounding real good, please let me know, and I can fix it. All right. Wow, good to be here tonight. Another Wednesday night. We're going to minister to every person. We will not be talking a lot like we do on Mondays and Tuesdays. And so thank you for being here for that. And we love to pray for people. We believe that we should not despise prophetic prayer, prophetic prayer and prophetic words are very close to the Word of God when they're prophetic, true prophetic words, right? When they're words from God. And so, you know, that's one thing we have to really get a hold of is that when God is speaking, it's like Paul the Apostle said, you know, he told Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:16, to meditate on those prophecies, personal prophecies, and to meditate on them, to bring victory, to help you fight a good fight. So, wow, I mean, how can you beat that? I mean, as far as saying, it was, you know, like he didn't say meditate on the word of on the written word of God, although, you know, he does talk about that, of course, but he talks about how that we meditate on the prophetic words that we get. Y'all, I mean, I've never heard that until God showed it to me not long ago, right? You remember when I got all excited when oh my gosh, I couldn't believe, you know, look what's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. So people that tell us to get in the Word of God need to get into the Word of God themselves, I think, a little more, or at least maybe the Spirit of Revelation needs to help them some. Like, it's helping me. I'm growing a lot. I'm learning a lot. And so, so we are excited about that and growing a lot, learning a lot. Trying to, you know, get the mind of God. How do you get the mind of God? Through revelation. Through, not the book of Revelation, although the book of Revelation does help a lot, but through the Spirit of the Lord, through the Spirit of Revelation, that which every person can have, according to Ephesians 2, I believe it's 8 and 9. And let me look that up real quick just to make sure we're on track with that. Hang on a second. Right, I'm going to go here just for a second, make sure I'm quoting this correctly. And, anyway, I'm going to move on from that right now. I'll find that a little bit later. But, you know, it's really cool how Paul the Apostle has awakened us through the Word of God, how the Word of God, through Paul the Apostle, has awakened us, written by the Lord, penned, literally scripted out on paper or on, you know, skins, the Word of God. And so God uses men. That's the thing that people really, when you talk to people who have struggled with the Bible and with the Word of God, they really do battle with how can somebody say God's Word is pure if man was involved, right? That's kind of the skepticism, I guess you would say, the questions that people have about it. And so it's really a good question. But when you think about that, and those of us who believe the Word of God is the inerrant Word of God, and it's just a thing for us to understand it, is that it's how God uses man. I mean, to me, the amazing thing is how God uses man, you know, and he used man to write his holy word. So what does that tell you? That shows you that God loves the fact that you and I are involved in what is holy. I mean, Paul the Apostle and Peter, James, John, all those guys, Luke, you know, when they wrote the Word of God, they were writing what God was giving them. And so, you know, it just shows you that God is very involved in men being part of the holy Word of God, being part of God's holiness, God's work on earth, to the point that he would call his word the inerrant, incorruptible seed of the living God. You know, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. And so who did he use to do that? People, just like you and me. No different, just called. Some are called to do different things. Some were called to the fivefold, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you know, but others were just called to, you know, do what they do. But God was using them in whatever way. When you're being led by the Holy Spirit, when you're prophesying, when you're doing what the Spirit of God is saying, you're speaking the word of the Lord. When God speaks about something to somebody, whether it's a casual type conversation of, you know, talking about, you know, what God's doing in somebody's life, and, you know, he wants to work on this, and he wants to help you with that, and he's talking to you, you know, I know it's kind of hard to, you know, understand for some, but that's God. Now, does the people say they're saying the Lord's what the Lord's saying, and they're not? Yeah. Some are learning and growing. Some have just do it because it's their job. They're not really doing it under the Lord, so I don't know if they really care or not. But the truth is that God wants to use us. You know, that's why Jesus Christ became, why God became man in the flesh, so that he could use a man. He had to use a man to bring salvation to us. And so, anyway, there you go. So I don't want to stop on that real quick, but I wanted to, you know, really, I think what we really need is the understanding of that. And I've talked about this many times before, but I may hit on it just for a minute, just on the light of this kind of a new, not a new thing, but a different thing. Well, let's go here and take a look at this. 1 Timothy 1:16. Okay, in a second here. Second. 1 Timothy 1:18, not 1:16. I said that wrong. Sorry about that. All right, 1 Timothy 1:18. Let's look at that. Let's look at verse 1:18. It says, "In before that, in verse 17, it says, now to the King eternal, immortal, and invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever." Now watch how he just moves into this thing about God, invisible, immortal, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. And then he steps right in and goes, "Hey, Timothy, my child, I entrust you with this command in keeping with the previous prophecies about you." In other words, it wasn't just about Jesus or, you know, the end times, it was previous prophecies about you. In other words, personal prophetic words. This is the, I don't know what version this is, I'm reading Berean Study Bible. That's the previous prophecies about you, so that by them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and to good conscience, which some have rejected. Ah, we know about that, don't we? And thereby are shipwrecked their faith. Now, he comes on in verse 17 before he talks about Timothy telling him to listen to those personal prophecies, what the Lord's trying to help us do tonight is connect how God uses people, and that we can't despise that. Do we know that everybody's being used by God? No, we have to have discernment. And if you are born again and you fellowship with Jesus and you're learning his voice, how he speaks, the way he speaks, then when you hear other people speak, you may not understand that you're you're questioning them, but you're going to be going like, I don't know, there's something wrong with that. He must be having a bad day. I don't know. I'm going to get off it. And you kind of, you know, get off of it and whatever, and you move on. But so you don't realize it, but when you listen to people, men and women, servants of God, who walk and live in the voice of God, I mean, I'm not talking about just prophets. I'm talking about anybody. And you hang out with them, and you listen to them, and you listen to your preacher, your pastor maybe at your church, or here on PGN, or whatever things that you listen to, and maybe probably many different things, all right? After a while, we don't go, oh, that's not the voice of God. When you hear something, that's not the voice of God. But you kind of, something in you kind of goes, I've been listening to my pastor for a long time. I know he's a man of God. I know I've been listening to my pastor's wife, and she's a woman of God. She hears the voice of God. And so I've gotten so used to, and I've listened to Randy too, yeah, and PGN friends, hosts, and I've listened to them. And so after a while, you know, there's something about that that you're just going, man, you know, we don't know that we're getting addicted to the voice of God, but there's something going on there, and it's causing us to, you know, something in you is connecting, and you're connecting. You're going, yeah, I don't know why I get fed through this, through my pastor, or what the information, he's not that great of a preacher, you know, that it may not be all that great, but there's something about the pureness of the voice of God coming through him or her. And so when you get used to that, and your spirit man gets used to that, and you listen maybe on a somewhat regular basis, by video or by, you know, CD, whatever you listen to, and you hear the voice of God, you don't hear through them going, I am the voice of God, hear ye me. But they're just saying, hey, you know, I'm teaching tonight on, you know, how to get saved. I'm teaching tonight on how to worship Jesus. I'm teaching tonight on, and when they're teaching, you have one person who, when they teach, you know, they're just teaching because it's head knowledge. And you have another person who's teaching because it's coming from their heart. It's what the heart man believes. And it's from the heart, a born-again heart, that the voice of God speaks to you, and you're listening to that person speak. And they may not be a great speaker, but there's something about them that's like going, yeah, I really enjoy this. You know, your intellectual mind tries to figure out, yeah, it's not all that great. He's not all that smart. She's not all that wonderful. But there's just something about it that I just love. And finally, you realize that it's the voice of God coming through that person. Then you go listen to somebody else, the other person who's, you know, maybe sincere, but not really preaching from their heart. They're preaching from head knowledge. Maybe they've been to a great Bible school, and they're preaching or teaching or just sharing stuff that they've heard. And they're not really talking from their heart. They're not talking from the voice of God. They're just talking. They like, you know, what they're doing. But it's not really the voice of God speaking to you. So you listen to that and you go, man, he's a great, articulate person. Very good. Great message. The way he put that together was amazing. But you know what? I just didn't really – something was missing. What was it? And then you listen to somebody else who's, you know, unprofessional and not very good. And you go, why do I want to listen to that when I got this other professional, very good, you know, articulate person? This doesn't make any sense, and your mind wrestles with it. But what's happening is if you're born again – your spirit man, your soul, loves to hear the voice of God, no matter who it's coming through. So you get kind of addicted to that. You get kind of used to that. You get kind of, you don't even realize it sometimes, but you're like going, you know, if you listen to the voice of God every day in your prayer life, in whatever way God speaks to you, and you turn on the news, you turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, turn on your computer, and you listen to other people, and you kind of like going, I like this one, don't like that one. You know, what's going on? What is it? It's the voice of God. You're getting used to the voice of God. And when the voice of God's not there coming through that person's voice, you go, well, there's something just not right. Something that, you don't judge them, think they're a bad person. Not about they're in sin, they're a bad person. You just realize there's something that's just not there. What is it? Well, it's the voice of God. So we don't realize we're doing it, but we get addicted to the voice of God. And when we don't have it, we have withdrawal symptoms, right? So, and that's just kind of what Paul's telling Timothy here. He says, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you, now to the King eternal, immortal and invisible and the only true and living God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Watch how he's doing this. I mean, I never saw this before. I've actually just reading this with this on my mind for the first time. in this particular way. Now, so he opens up with, like, you know, hallowed be thy name, oh God. You know what I mean? Like Paul is like praying, hallowed be thy immortal, invisible, the only true. And I don't know how many times I've ever heard Paul talk to about God like that, but that's pretty amazing. And then he steps right into the next thing is, Timothy, my child, while we're here in this holy, holy, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only true and living God who honors glory forever, ever, I entrust you with this command. I'm going to command you. It's like he's up in the heavens and he's sending forth a command, a commandment, in keeping with the previous prophecies about you, that by them you may fight a good fight. Wow. Holding on to the faith and of a good conscience. Now watch how all this fits together. Holding on, this is the next verse, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and thereby shipwrecked their faith. Notice they had faith, but they shipwrecked it. So what's he saying here? He's saying, Timothy, my son, I just got through glorifying God, the God of all, the invisible, immortal God of all glory. And he goes right in and he says, okay, from that position, I'm telling you, I'm commanding you, in keeping with the previous prophecies about you, that you, by them, may fight the good fight. Let's look at the other versions here. 1 Timothy 1:18. Let's go here to, let's read the different versions, what it says, okay? The New International Version says, Timothy, I'm giving you the command, in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, that by recalling them, I love this, by recalling them, okay, you may fight the battle well. So what's he saying here? He's saying that, Timothy, there's many different ways that the voice of God will come to you, and one of them has been through the prophecies once made about you. Not a prophecy, not your once-a-year prophecy, the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well. So, you know, this has nothing to do with reading the Word of God. Does Paul tell people the Word of God is not that important, that you get, take it or leave it? No, in other scriptures, he talks about, you know, that's another way we hear the voice of God. And then he comes in here and he opens up with how great, awesome, immortal, invisible, the only truly God, the glory forever. And Timothy, I'm going to give you a command, like he's getting a command, like Moses brought down from the mountain. I just heard from God. And God says to tell you to listen to your prophecies. Because why? Because it's the voice of God. And friend, once you get used to the voice of God, even if the person's talking to you may not be all that articulate, they may not be all that great, they may not be all that professional, but if the voice of God is coming through them and it's prophesying by the Spirit of God, speaking things over you, not just saying, thus saith the Lord, you shall be the mighty prayer warrior of all glory, and you shall rule and reign with Jesus in Chicago, and it shall be wonderful, and you shall evangelize and win thousands to Jesus. You know, that's prophecy, sure, if that's what God's saying. But prophecy is also just spontaneous, God talking to you like you would in a relationship with somebody. Hey, I've been thinking about you today, and you know, I was, and so you start talking and you start speaking, and pretty soon they're saying to you like, how did you know that? You know, yeah, I don't know what you're saying, but something about that's pretty cool. I feel like I needed to hear that, you know, or something like that. And you're going like, wow, what was it? I was just kind of like talking. Well, when the Spirit of God is talking through you, it can be just in a conversation. I've walked into places and just kind of felt like saying, you know, saying a certain thing. Don't even know why I'm saying it. I'm just saying it and like thinking. And I say it, and the people turn around and look at me real fast, like, wow, you know, how did you know that? We were just talking about that. And they're just like kind of in shock, you know, like a little bit smart. Well, what is it? That's just the spontaneous voice of God flowing through you, friend. You've got it in you. It's not just in me because I'm a prophet. It's in you because you have the Holy Spirit inside you. You have the one who's leading you and guiding you into all truth. And he's showing you. Open up your mouth and just start opening your mouth and give God a chance. If you don't open your mouth, God's not going to pry your mouth open, right? You have to open it willingly and say, God, I know you're with me. I love you. You're my father. I don't know if I'm called to the ministry or not. Because it doesn't matter, friend. It's a, do you have the Spirit of God or not? And do you love Jesus or not? Do you love God or not? That's the question. And if you love him and you enjoy him, the more fun you're having with him, the more enjoyment you're having with him, the more free you when you get around other people, then it's like, man, when you talk about things you talk about, you're not really a religious person, but you're very, you know, something about you, your words, is what is it? I don't know. You know, and you know, sometimes, you know, we need to make people beg for what it is. I think we need to really make them hungry, you know, for what you know, when they get to know you. And they start saying, you know, what is it that makes you tick, you know? And God starts putting a curiosity in them to find out what makes you tick. And then, you know, you give them the answer little by little, or maybe a lot, whatever. My old way of doing things was just walk up to somebody, and I literally did this, I don't know how many times, many multiples of times, would say, I walk up to somebody in a Kmart store or whatever, and I'd say, hi, how are you? And I wouldn't know who they were, and they wouldn't know who I was. I said, has anybody ever told you about Jesus? Yeah, that was my favorite line. I said it all the time to people, all the time. And it was my opening for, you know, telling them how to get saved. And that was my way of approaching them. Well, that wasn't a bad thing. But, you know, so there's all these different ways that God speaks, friend. And one of them that's been truly neglected, and that Paul the Apostle is saying to Timothy, his favorite child, I believe, his most prominent child, spiritual child, he's saying, hey, man, you know, you need to be listening to those prophecies you've been getting so you can fight a good fight. You know, it's kind of like saying, in another sense, okay, he would be telling somebody else, on the other hand, he said, okay, get into the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and let the Holy Spirit reveal the inspired Word of God to help you fight a good battle. Wow. Okay. There's scriptures that say that. And then we got prophecies that he's saying will help you fight a good fight. So when we begin to realize what it is, it's one of the more profound ways that God's voice is spoken through people is through the prophetic realm. And that's why when prophecy was so big in the New Testament church, because everybody had the Spirit of God. It wasn't just the prophets having the Spirit of God on them. They'd been prayed up all day long, and they come into a room and, you know, start prophesying. No, this is the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit's in everybody. Everybody has the Holy Spirit inside them now. Not everybody's called to be a prophet, but it doesn't matter. When you have the Holy Spirit, man, you learn to just love him and enjoy him and open up your mouth and, you know, learn to let God fill it, he will do it. And it'll change your life, and you will find yourself being used by God a lot more than just thinking, oh, I've got to give them a scripture. I've got to give them a biblical stance on my theology. You know, no, it's kind of like you're talking to them and God's in you and the Spirit of God's in you. When you walk into somebody's presence, you know, God knows that person. And when you get within their presence, something inside you, you may not have ever met them in your life, but something inside you knows that this is a precious human being. And that God through you, is closer to them right there, if they're not saved, is closer to them right then than maybe he's ever been, possibly. And so you begin to just love them, talk to them, be friendly, not preach at them and give them a bunch of scriptures, unless the Lord's telling you to preach at them and give them a bunch of scriptures. That's a whole different thing, right? Because we're going by the voice of God. But just generally evangelizing and talking to people, being friendly to people, especially with people that you know every day. If you're going to see a person one time in your life, then give them everything. Lay the whole thing out. But if you're going to see them every day, it's a whole different circumstance. And that's one thing I had to learn. I had to learn that how to deal with people that I talk to and see. And, you know, like you used to at work when I worked at the construction company, they had a lot of employees. You know, I saw those people. I saw them, most of those people almost, you know, two or three times a week most of the time. So I could have approached things a little bit differently. God still moved and God still did some great things and some things, really awesome things happened. But, you know, so what we need to learn is we can't put God in a box and say the only way I can win this person is Jesus. It's what I do when I'm going to see somebody that I may only see one time in my life. And I got to make sure that they get the gospel. God, you know, says, give them the gospel, Randy. And you realize you're going to see them one time, maybe twice in your whole life. So what are you going to do? Maybe you'll never see him again. You lay the whole thing out the best you can. All right? But somebody you see every day, people you see every day or on a semi-regular basis, you know, it's like that's a different thing. Then they get to know you as a person because they're with you on a regular basis. So you learn to let the Spirit of God, the Spirit of prophecy, what is prophecy? It's spontaneously getting information from God, and most of the time you don't even realize. To this day, I don't always realize it when I'm talking God talk. Well, like I said, I use example. This happened just recently. I walked into a place, actually the place I work out at, and I think I've shared this before, but I walked in there and I said something about joy and laughing and giggling and having fun and dancing around. And they all turned around. Every one of them turned around and looked at me like, how did you know? You just walked in. How did you know we were just talking about all that? And then the main guy came up to me and he says, he starts telling me the same thing I just told him. I'm going like, wow, that's amazing. You know, so what was that? I was just enjoying my life. I was just walking in. I walk in, and all of a sudden I get this thought and feeling to say a certain thing, you know, about joy and laughter and having fun and that kind of thing. And it just so happened that they were talking about that. That's prophecy, friend. That's prophecy is spontaneously saying things that come to you, and you just have to start trusting God, trusting Jesus, trusting the Holy Spirit in you. That maybe, even though it may sound silly, I've said some pretty silly things. It sounded pretty silly to me, even on the show here on PGN. Said some pretty silly things. Seemed silly to me. They seem like, wow, that's really odd. And it just be like exactly what that person had been talking about to their friend or whatever that very day, or maybe the day before. I mean, pretty much precisely. But I don't know that I'm getting that. I don't know. No, I'm just feeling it. I'm sensing it. Those words are coming up, and I'm not going to sit there and go, no, I'm going to swallow that because that might make me look like a fool. Well, yeah, when you're going to be used by God, sometimes you do think about that. You do think, am I going to make myself a fool? Well, when you decide you're going to take a chance on that a few times and you find out that it was God, then you start getting a little bit more courage to know that, hey, I'm going to humble myself like a little child, and I'm going to say this, quote, silly sounding thing that makes no sense to me. It makes perfect sense to the person you're standing right in front of, and you don't even know who they are. See, friend, this is what happened. This is what changed when Christ came and gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. That's what happened when we got the Holy Spirit. That's what changed. Everything changed. What we need is ministry that takes it down off the pedestal of, if you're not a preacher or something, or if you're not educated, you can't be used by God. Wrong, bad, wrong. Bad, wrong. I don't care if you know one scripture. If you're born again, God can use you. God doesn't just use you because of the knowledge you have. He uses you because your heart is willing to share things with people. It's not about the knowledge you have. It's not how smart you are, I can't really talk to people about God, Randy, because I don't really have a calling, you know, from God to talk to. No, if you're born again and you're a child of God, you have a right to spread the good news about your daddy, about your father. And when you're doing that, guess what, friend? You're going to be surprised at how many friends you'll start having. And then eventually, you know, somehow or another, maybe they're going to ask you, how do I get to know this? How do I get to know you? How do I get to know, what are you? What do you do? And then you tell them. And they're going like, oh, that's why you are the way you are? See, instead of trying to tell them how they should be, if you're around them on a regular basis, then you're able to, like, just be who you are. And when they find out, they keep going like, how come you sometimes say things that, you know, make me wonder if you've been listening to my phone calls? You know, are you spying on me? What's going on? You know, I mean, like, sometimes people get really suspicious of me, believe it or not, because they think that I'm a spy or something, that I'm spying on them. Yeah, I've literally had situations like that. Nothing bad. It wasn't a real negative thing. It was just like it created some strife. You're like, how could you know that? How could you know? I mean, you got to be watching what I'm saying, watching what I'm doing in order to know that stuff. Because I said some of that stuff just almost word for word, just like an hour ago. How can you do that? Well, the Spirit of God knows everything, and if He wants to talk to somebody about a certain thing and get their attention, he'll do it. Just do simple talking. Forget the scripture talk. You know, we use scripture on people when they're ready for it. If you start quoting scripture to people that don't even believe in the Bible, unless God's telling you to do that specifically, and quoted it verbatim, you know, 1 Timothy 3:6, you know, just you don't have to tell them what chapter it's in. They're not going to go look it up. Just talk the word of God to them like you're just talking to them. It's like Paul talking to Timothy. What was Paul doing? He was prophesying to him. He said, Timothy, my son, he's having a conversation with him. I'm giving you this command in keeping all the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, Timothy, you may fight the good fight. He wasn't going, thus saith the Lord thy God, you shall have, you know, and I'm not against that because sometimes I do that, right? But this is kind of like conversational. This is something Jesus would be saying to the disciples walking down the road with them. You see what I'm saying? So when we break down all those walls, a lot more people will start being used by God, many times when they don't even know it, which what difference does it make? It's fun to know, but they're still going to be used by God. Why aren't more people being used by God on a regular basis? Because the preachers have made it so complicated. They put up so many walls about you. You know, they don't really say it necessarily, but you got to have this. You better be doing this. You better know the word of God before you start talking about Jesus. You give them some false thing. But when your heart is in love with Jesus, you're not going to say something against God's word, even if you don't know God's word. If you're in love with Jesus, you can be totally ignorant of the word of God. When you're talking to people about, and you're in love with Jesus, you got born again, you got saved, you're just going to be saying what's in your heart. You don't have to worry about don't talk to them because you might lead them astray with some, you know, my God, help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to break down those walls so people can start communicating and talking to people about God without restricting them to our rules and regulations, get them under our laws. Amen? And that's mine, too. And I've probably done my share of all that, the wrong things. So I'm not condemning anybody. I think everybody knows that. But what I'm saying is tonight is that God's trying to break down walls for us so that we can, be used of God ourselves and more than just being in a preaching mode. I love preaching modes. I love to preach, man. It's amazing. I love quoting the scripture. I love giving people word of God. I love that. But, you know, sometimes it's just we have to let God show us all the different ways that he communicates so we can be used more often by God. Amen? Y'all hear me tonight? Y'all hear the Lord tonight speaking through me? God's using me? Like God used people to write the word of God? God uses people to write the word of God in people's hearts by prophesying to them. God uses men. Like I open up the scripture, open up with the talk tonight. About how that most people struggle with the word of God because it was men who wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How do we know they wrote it all down like it's supposed to? You know, like sometimes you think, I don't know if I said that all exactly like God gave it to me or not, but so how am I going to trust somebody else? Well, because God prepared them. He set them up and he got them connected. Amen. And then they were able to be used by God to write holy things. And men were used, human beings that were born again, were used and called of God, were used to write holy things that were pure and unadulterated. And so does he want to do with you, friend. Whatever level you are, he wants to use you. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be at somebody else's level. The level you're at, if you're born again, you're at the level God can use you. If it would just happen 5 minutes ago, let's break down those walls of, you know, all the things we've maybe learned without realizing it, that we can't be used by God if we're not a certain thing or a certain way. You know what? And I'm saying I've probably pushed a little bit of that myself at times. I'm sure I have. So there's no condemnation here. I think most of the people who know me know that. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying that's the way it's been, man. That's the way it is. God's trying to help us. He's trying to wake us up, trying to show us, hey, I want to use all of you. I want all of you marching. Give all of you marching orders. Yeah. So you can walk with me and talk with me and walk with each other and talk with God and all walk together and talk with each other and talk with God and talk with each other. Fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. Amen. All right, let's take our callers tonight, see what's going on. We're going to go from caller to caller tonight like we do on every Wednesday. I realized I've got so much stuff going on, and I realized that I didn't announce that Terrence and Tanisha on text. I didn't let everybody know that Terrence and Tanisha's show was not on tonight because they their daughter had was graduating tonight. And I guess the busy day, I forgot to set my alarm and do it. So you guys know I do this. So sorry about that. So anyway, there you go. And so pray for them, and they're doing good. And just their daughter was graduating from high school today, so that's where they were at. That's why they didn't have their show tonight. And I forgot to send the text out, which I do sometimes. All right, pray for the building. We're talking to the real estate person, you know, 2 or 3 times a day, and working on some things. And I wish I could tell you everything, but I just can't, not yet. It's not a done deal, and it's not done yet, but we're hoping that it will be. So pray, and let's believe God for that, all right? All right. Not a done deal, but we're working on it. And when I explain it to you, eventually you'll understand about it, so you'll understand it. All right? All right. All right, let's take a caller tonight, see what's going on. My first caller tonight is 202. One second. All right, 202 is my first caller. 585, my second. All right. 954, my third. 325 after that. 95940 after that. 610 after that. 205 after that. 803-991 after that. 612 after that. 754 after that. 804 after that. 903-808 after that. 847 after that. 863-605 after that. And then 111 after that. And that's all that have their hand up right now. The rest of you don't have your hand up. 480, you don't have your hand up. 863, you don't have your hand up. 843, you don't have your hand up. 912-398, you don't have your hand up. 831-596, you don't have your hand up. Okay, you probably get your hand up later, but there you go. And also people calling later as time zones across the United States change. And they will be calling in. So we'll be on for a little bit. So get ready. We're going to take them in the order that we've got them. All I need you to do tonight, if you would, even though I've talked to you 100 times, and I know you, I know your number, you could just, the manner of the show we do. Okay. So, there we go. All right. So, people text me some. So we're going to ask for your first name, what state you're from, and that's all I want to know. I don't need to know your last name, just your first name. Okay, you don't have to text me anymore. I got you. Thank you very much. If you want to get on, if you want to talk to me, you have to get on the show. I don't call people. This person's trying to get on me. If you could do that, please, I'd appreciate it. All right. Thank you very much. All right. So give me your first name, if you would, and what state you're from, and then I'll mute you, go prophesy a prayer over you, and then go to the next caller, and all right, over and over again. All right, thank you very much. All right, 202-722, am I talking to your friend, please?
How you doing? Randy, this is Daryl from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
Daryl, I love your voice already, bro. He's got that radio voice, Nicole. Yeah, you need to make him your announcer, Nicole, when you come on the show. And tonight we have Nicole from D.C. That's my girl. I mean, yeah. All right, Daryl, thank you. I thought maybe something happened to her voice. I'm going like, what is she doing, man? All right. Good to have you, brother. Good to have you guys. I love it. I love it. All right, thank you. That was Daryl, Nicole's friend. Whatever they're calling each other, I don't even know right now. really good friends. Thank you for that. Hey, I'm gonna make him my announcer. You know, I like his voice. It's really cool. All right, so Daryl Paul. You know, Nicole calls you Daryl Paul. So I don't know if that's just maybe I shouldn't be treading on that intimacy or not, but that's what she calls you. So I'm gonna call you Daryl. Man. All right, Daryl. Thank you very much, guys, for being on tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for God. I thank you for your the way that we share. I think for the way that Daryl shares, you're showing him more and more, God, how to share things. Sometimes men just talk, yak, and then sometimes, you know, so with me, I know God has had to perfect the way that I talk, the way I communicate. Sometimes I'll be a little bit too blunt, you know what I mean? I'll be a little bit too, you know, like, I don't really mean to hit somebody up, you know, with something, but I'll just, if I'm not careful, I'll just kind of like be a little blunt. And so, you know, I have to learn that, you know, until I have a good relationship with somebody, and even then, we have to be gentle and careful, the way we communicate. And so I see God really showing you how to communicate, you know, at a high level. And not just an intellectual thing, but a thing you feel in your heart when you're talking with somebody. You're going to be able to read their face, read their heart, so to speak, understand their feelings, and be able to avoid some things you may say to some people, but when you see their face and you listen to, you feel their heart, whatever you feel, the atmosphere, you see the countenance, you change the way you move into a different mode of articulation and speech, and opening up people and being able to communicate with people and being sensitive to that is one of the things that I feel like God's really, maybe it's already happening to you, probably, I'm sure it's already been going on with you, but I see God really perfecting that with you, where you learn, you know, you really learn at a high level how to talk, how to share, knowing who your group is that you're talking about. When Paul the Apostle, when he would be talking to certain churches, you could hear he would change his voice almost and change the way he spoke. The Corinthians, he spoke, oh, man, I would hate to have been a Corinthian church. But he spoke to the Corinthian church the way they could understand it. I mean, when you look at that, the way he talked to them, like, and then you would hear him talk about other churches. He would say, yeah, you know, I robbed other churches to you know, what he would say, I robbed other churches to bless you. I robbed them to, you know, I robbed other churches. He would say, you know, I know he didn't really mean rob, but he would raise money. So she could tell the way he talked to them. He talked to them differently, talked to them more sensitively, talked to them more carefully and gentle, and like, you know, I robbed other churches to come and talk to you. Some people don't realize that's in the Word of God, but it is. I don't think he literally meant rob. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that communication skill, to perfect that and to open up doors, because when you open up a person and they're able to receive you and connect with what you're saying, that what that does is that it opens up doors for you. It opens up doors, you know, a favor, you know. And when you have favor, usually it's because God's helping you communicate with people. Jesus was a great communicator. Paul the Apostle was a good communicator too. And Jesus could communicate with people. He would talk to them about what they knew about. He would give parables and talk to them. He talked to the sheep. He talked to the sheep, if you will, completely different than he talked to the Pharisees. He talked to the Pharisees and said, you whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. You know, that's the way they needed to be talked to, because that's the only thing they understood. Yeah. But to the sheep, he'd be going like, you know, talking like a gentle shepherd, you know. And so there's that. And I see that God really perfected me with you in an awesome way. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for hello. Wait a minute here. Hang on a sec. Nicole, thank you, Lord, for Nicole tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life, God, and expanding her and causing her to know with her heart in a way that, like, I see God sensitizing your heart in a brand new way, feeling your heart. You know, when you go through pain and suffering and difficult situations that had nothing to do with anything other than just, you know, life and things that go on. And so, you know, sometimes we guard ourselves. Sometimes we go through all kinds of things. Sometimes, you know, I think our spirit and our mind is automatically, God put it in there to protect ourselves for a season. You know, we can't handle any more of that particular kind of thing. So we protect ourselves, and we don't shut ourselves off, but we kind of shut down from certain things. And so, you know, so I see God kind of like blossoming your heart causing your heart to blossom and starting to, you know, open up to love and to the Lord. But God is, the Lord is love. And God really bringing things like a whole new sensitivity in your whole life, you know, coming forth because you've been seeking God, you've been serving God and doing what God says. When you do that, he rewards you with that, with the very thing you're called to do. The very rewards come to bless us, not to just give us a bunch of extra stuff to have hanging around so we can say, look at all my stuff, but it is that your ability to also to communicate, your ability to, train and bless and raise, you know, people up. And so I thank you, Lord, for that ability in her, God, that her heart becoming sensitive to that and to things, even more sensitive than she's ever been. I just feel like you're going to be in the most sensitive thing with God than you've ever been. You're going to feel him deeper. You're going to feel him, you know, and just like Mary, when Mary broke up with the alabaster box, you know, and began to anoint Jesus, she was weeping. You know, as you remember, when we talked about this not long ago, she was weeping. Nobody knew why she was weeping for him, because she's got some sin in her life or something. No, she was weeping because that was the day before they came to get Jesus to crucify him, and they were getting together. The scripture even shows they were getting together, you know, that very night, the same time, and talking about how we're going to kill him, how we're going to crucify the Son of God. She felt that. And Jesus knew what was going on. He knew exactly what was going on. He felt it and knew it. And even though he wasn't sitting there going, y'all better pray for me because my feelings are not. No, he was feeling the pressure of giving his life. And Mary walks in with that sensitive heart, that beautiful spirit, and just starts feeling Jesus' sorrow, feeling Jesus like something about him. Even though she didn't really understand it, something about him, he's battling with something. He's struggling with something. And I'm sensing and I'm feeling, you know what, I'm going to help him. I'm going to anoint his feet. I'm gonna celebrate him. I'm gonna love him. And Jesus said, "Y'all, you don't know what this woman's doing. She doesn't even know what she's doing, but she's anointing me for my burial," because Mary was feeling Jesus. So you know that sensitivity level of feeling what God's going through. So you can express even through reading the Word and teaching the Word, you can express the heart of God. You know, and which is really what happens when you express the heart of God. It brings forth understanding and revelation. It brings forth thoughts that you've never had before, because with feelings come thoughts, right? You know, and when you're feeling God, your thoughts start thinking things about the Word of God and about God that you're talking about the Lord, you're doing something, you're talking about Scripture, you're trying to teach on something, whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, you start getting these feelings, these emotions, these thoughts that are coming from the Lord because of your sensitivity level, and you start expressing Him from His Word in a whole another level. Amen. Yeah. All right. Okay, good to have you guys tonight. This surprised me with that
Hello.
Voice. Hello, 585. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, this is Anonymous.
Oh, hi, Anonymous. Hey, all right. Anonymous.
Hello.
Nice to have you. All right, good to have you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Anonymous tonight. So, in case you don't know it, every time Anonymous comes on, the reason she says Anonymous is that's not her name. But we give people the right to feel protected if there's for some reason they might have people out there listening that might criticize or cause trouble or something or whatever the thing is that we want to protect from that. And so that's why she calls herself Anonymous. And you can do the same thing. You can call yourself Mr. Anonymous, Mrs. Anonymous, or I am Anonymous. You can call yourself whatever you want. You don't have to give your real name even. You can give a name that nobody knows. You can give whatever you want because we want you to feel safe and protected. And, okay, so, yeah, so go about that. All right, so Anonymous, thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the heart of David that you've given her, Father, the heart of David to divide the spoils, to give to God what belongs to God, give the people what belongs to them. When we get blessed by God, we're blessed by God to give people. You know, like if we sing or we worship or we have a business or we preach or we prophesy or whatever we're doing, we're there to impart to people what will bless them, right? Whether it be a congregation, you get a word and prophesy and speak over, you know, 1,000 people in a congregation. And even though you're speaking one basic message, you have 1,000 people out there that'll have, and you'll have 1,000 different messages that God related to that, to 1,000 different people with the same exact word that everybody heard, but yet it came through them in the form of what they needed. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing her and opening her up to that, let her see that you called her to that, and blessing her with that ability, Father, to do that. In Jesus' name, open up those doors and supply the needs, Father, in Jesus' name, and cause her to know that her calling is to be close to God and share that closeness with others. Amen. Yeah, amen. Jesus, whatever fashion form that is. All right, 954-508-580. Who am I talking to you from, please? Hello? Yes, 954-580. Are you there?
2 days from now.
Here code 954. Are you there?
Friday.
Hello?
Friday.
I can't hear what's Friday. Going on. 954. Are you there? Okay, not sure. Sounds like they're having fun. Thank you, Jesus, for your word tonight to 954. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for delivering the word, delivering the goods, revealing your word, showing what the different parts of you, God. There's so many different parts of you. When the angels, somebody had a visitation with the heaven, or they had an experience where they went to heaven and they saw the angels, like flying around God, and every time they would bow down and worship and cry out. And he said that every time they did this, because they were being shown something new of God. And this has been going on for eternity. So God has a lot to be shown, right, for that to happen in that way. And so I thank you, Lord, for 954, God, that you open up their heart and just keep showing them all the different parts. Because God shows you the parts of him that you need. The part of him that heals physically, if you need that, he wants to show you that part of him. And that part can be very wide, very deep, and then you get into a whole other thing of deliverance. And you get into salvation. Then you get into, there's many different parts of God. Different people need different things. Some people need the part of God that tells them he's going to provide for them. That's a part of God, right? Because we can't give everybody all of God, but we give them what they need. And the part of God that needs. So God, I thank you for 954, for showing 954 how to flow in that place of the parts of God, and how we know in part, we prophesy in part. And I thank you, Jesus, that you, show her that there's so many different parts. Every time we get a part, we think we got, man, this is it, man. I just got a revelation of God, and all it was one little bitty part, right? But it didn't seem like it because it's so amazing. And thank you, Lord, for opening up the parts and let her prophesy in part, let her know in part, let her speak in part, in Jesus' name, and reveal yourself in all the parts that because every part we get revealed to us from God, it's usually because it's something, a part of God that somebody will need, that's missing with them, that they will need healing, they'll need deliverance, so we'll get those different parts with God and give them away. All right, 325-280, who want to talk to you, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. Chris, last night we were talking about people that lived in Texas right there. He said, I think I'm going to move to Texas. He said, then they started naming these people that they know on the show that live in Texas, right? And I said, oh, you forgot Chris. Chris, he says, yeah, Chris the oil man. That's what she said. I think that was Lisa from Pennsylvania said that. Now, that's interesting that you have that. And she got that reputation, bro. I don't know. Don't blame me either. I don't have anything to do with it. It's all your fault. That was pretty cool. The oil man. Yeah. I didn't say anything. I said, yeah, because that's one of the parts, right? And so there's that part thing. Yeah. So, and that's the thing I see with you, part thing. Like God, we prophesy in part, we know in part. Sometimes we wonder why we don't get the whole package. It's because, each part is important to do, because will we obey God with the part he's given us? And then if we do, then he gives us the next part and the next part and the next part and the next part. So obeying God and letting him give you the part that's important for now. The reason that God doesn't give us, you know, the whole thing, like I would like to have the whole thing on a couple of things right now, but I don't have them, you know, right, like the market. Like I got a word, you know, a few weeks ago about the market. I haven't made public yet, but I probably won't make public. But anyway, so I'm kind of watching this happen. I've documented it in a way that some people know, but that's just a part. That's one of the parts of what God does. And with me, what he did, Chris, was that he gave me different parts. You know, things – he started having me learn things or give me supernatural knowledge about things I had not a clue about. And it went on for, like, months, sometimes for, you know, intensely went on for months and months and months and sometimes a few years. And just over and over and over again, he kept, you know, the market. And all the different ways that he uses me in the market, all the different ways that he wants to, you know, speak to me about the market. That was just one little part that God showed me. So I learned to, you know, I thought, well, maybe this is it. This is my life from now on. I'm just going to get information about the market, you know, I guess. I don't know nothing about it. But it became the next part for me. You know, I float in, you know, revelation and healing and, you know, some miracles over the years, but I'd never really had anything about the market. So it was a new part for me. And so, man, I dove in. I loved it. It's amazing. I made mistakes with that part. And God knew I would make mistakes because he's teaching us. We don't get it perfectly. And that's one thing we got to realize, Chris, is that condemnation that comes with not doing things perfectly. Like the whole question with me all the time is, am I doing it perfectly? Well, probably not. But the things that God, he perfects them in me because I learn each part one at a time, basically. And each part, you know, that he focuses on, I learned that. I learned how to move in that, you know, flow in that. And then when I kind of like graduate, I guess, it's not that that doesn't keep working, but the intensity of it is not the same. You know, it's like going to mechanic school. All you see every day is books on mechanics, car parts. You know, I mean, it's a specialty thing. You know, and then so you get out of there and you decide you're going to do something else, and you become a doctor, or you want to become a nurse, or whatever. And you go, and you start. Everything's about body parts and doctors and healing, and you know, how do you treat people and all that kind of thing. And so you know, each set of information is comes. You know, like you get obsessive compulsive with something. And you don't realize, what do I learn about the mechanic thing for? I'm never going to use it. I want to be a doctor. Well, you kind of find out that you end up going to a country being a doctor that needs mechanics, and so you became a doctor mechanic. You see what I'm saying as an example? So we never know why God is bringing me through these different parts, trying to teach me about it, and though I make mistakes and fail sometimes, you know, I learn from it and I grow, and then when it becomes perfected, then he moves me on to the next level, like the mechanic thing. If you learn the mechanic thing, you do good at that, you learn that fact. And then you go, well, I think I'm going to go to med school. Why do I want to go to med school? I don't know. I'm going to med school. Go to med school, become a doctor. Then you go to a country, like I said, you end up the country going to that had no mechanics, didn't know how to fix anything. You're going, man, this is amazing. You know, so you become the mechanic, doctor mechanic. People come in and get the cars fixed, and they see you for medical stuff, you know, whatever. I'm just making stuff up here, right? But you see what I'm saying? So we never know how things are going to work together, and each part is important that we obey God in it. And whether it's with our family, learning how to treat our wives, our you know, wives with their husbands, and our children, and do business at home, do business, you know, how we are in our private life, how we are in our public life, and learn how to flow in all those things, and all the different specialties that we get caught up into for a season. Now I look back and I'm going like, well, no wonder God brought me into the market realm, because right now, the one world market, which he told me when the angel opened me up to this, he said to me, very like a little child, an innocent child, said, there's a massive merger coming, merger, M-E-R-G-E-R. And now we're seeing this massive merger literally coming, because he was talking about the one world governments coming together. And so it's all, a lot of it is about money, right? It's about the markets. I'm going like, God, I thank you. I made mistakes. I failed. I just said I had to get right. You know, and you trained me and you taught me how it works and how it doesn't work. Because we have to learn how things work and how they don't work. People think when you're flowing with God, everything's perfect. It's not perfect at all. It's a big mess. But as we perfect it, we get better and better and better.
And we realize that, you know, we learn what does work and what doesn't work. Sometimes we have to figure out what doesn't work. So we won't go there, right? We'll waste our time. And then now I see years ago, 2005, when he opened me up to that. It went on for 2005 to 2010, 2011, 2012, where it was just like, you know, market, information about the market. Everybody knew me for the market stuff, basically, back in those days. That was it. I'm going like, man, that's it, you know. Okay, whatever God wants. And then I went on to other things, and now it's like he's connecting me there. I've learned it. I'm like the mechanic thing. Now I'm in a different position where I'm, you know, prophesying about getting things about the nations and about the globe and what's going on with the one world government and the merging of all that and how I'm seeing the merging of that. All that was through all the different things I learned. And so sometimes we think, man, I don't want to be a mechanic. I don't want to be a market guy. I'm not into the market. I want to be into healing or deliverance. And so we try to change it. God says, I didn't call you to be. I want you to learn this right now. Learn this. Learn all you can about it, because you don't realize it, but in the future, like the mechanic doctor thing, and you don't realize it, but in the future, when you become a doctor, you're going to go to a country that's not going to have any mechanics, and that's how you're going to see your patients. Is fix, tell them how to fix their car and fix their bodies at the same time. You know, and then be the world-known doctor mechanic around the globe. Oh, now I see why I did both those things. They didn't seem like they matched or made anything. How can those two things work together? But they did. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for that with Chris. God, amen. Amen. All right. It's amazing how one word leads to another word that goes a whole different place. I just love it. Love it. 940-224, who am I talking to you from, please?
Michael.
940-224?
Texas.
Oh, hi, Michael. All right.
Hi.
Good to have you tonight, brother. All right, good to have you, brother. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Michael. Father, I thank you for – so, Michael, sometimes we go through cycles of darkness. You know, we go into the darkness, we go into the light, go back down. So what's that called? That's going into the valley, going on the mountaintop, going into a valley, going on the mountaintop. So here's the thing that we struggle with in that. Because every time I go into a valley, into a time of so-called darkness or gloominess or messing up or making mistakes, what's going on, and I feel like I'm – been overtaken by this. I realized later that he was taking me through valleys, you know, the same way he would have taken me to the mountaintops, right? Because if you don't learn, there's something about one of the things I wanted to share tonight, and I didn't. I wrote this down here. It's not how you handle success only. It's how you handle your mistakes or failures or times or growing or just simply growing and learning. Everybody makes mistakes, man. We all fail. We all sometimes we sin more than others. Sometimes we make bigger mistakes than so. But it's about, are we learning from all of it? Not about why am I going through this, man? I'm ready to get out of this. No, you're going through it, and God's with you. And sometimes it seems dark. It seems like you're in a valley. That's the way a valley is. It seems dark, cloudy, murky. Oh my God, what's going on? What am I gonna do? I don't know. You know, it's dark time. I've got to get back on the mountaintop again. Light shine, everything's doing pretty good, but it's how you deal with your mistakes. How do you handle them? You know, do you condemn yourself for weeks and months and years, or do you overcome them, get through them, and move on? Do you learn from them, or do you just keep doing the same thing over and over again? Well, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, guess what? You're going to end up going around the mountain. It's like the Israelites did. I've done it. There's some areas of my life I still do that, but because we have different areas of our life that do that, right? Yeah. So the sooner we learn how to learn from our mistakes and our failures and our sins even, when we learn from it and we grow from it and get the knowledge of the truth about it, you realize the valleys aren't so bad. They're not so horrible. We don't, hope I don't go into a valley again. Well, the valley is where you learn about your mistakes. You learn about things. You learn where your faith is at, right? Just like handling success. Some people get successful. They start getting blessed. And they just start getting into the flesh real quick. Israel did it. Israel did it big time. You read about Israel, one of the biggest things about Israel that's written about Israel is that when they got blessed, they just started chasing after idols. Well, what does that mean? Well, they didn't learn. You learn through your successes when you're in a more successful time, when you're on the mountaintop? How are you learning about that? Are you doing good? Do you keep doing the same thing over and over again in that area? So we learn to keep going in circles and ask God to help us get free of the condemnation of it, learn from our mistakes, and move on, and even in our successes, learn how to handle those things. Because the sooner we learn how to handle our failures, our mistakes, our sins, which are in the valley, and then the sooner we learn how to handle our successes on the mountaintop, then they're not so up and down and up and down all the time. If you've learned from them, right, then it's more level. Your walk is more level. You don't make as many mistakes. Why? Because you're learning from your mistakes. You're not messing up in your success. Why? Because you're learning how to handle success, right? Yeah, because it's something to learn. I don't care who you are. People get successful all of a sudden, they can get crazy, man. I've done it. I know. I know my human nature. Yeah, so God's teaching you. You're growing. You're learning. You just let him do it. Let him teach you. Let him show you the way. He will do it. All right, my brother. All right, good to have you, Michael. All right, 610-427. Who am I talking to, your friend, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. Shalom. This is Lisa Raquel from Pennsylvania. Thank you.
All right. All right, Lisa, thank you. Good to be with you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Lisa. Thank you, Jesus, for those discovery moments, God, where we discover things. And sometimes what we discover is not all that great. We're like, man, I don't know if I wish I had discovered this. You know, like, wow, like that prophet who dug a hole to the wall. God told him to dig a hole in the wall and see what was going on in there. And once he's, yeah, oh, my God, I'm going to get to spy on some preachers here, man. It's going to be amazing. And when he saw it, it just, like, freaked him out. Like, oh, my God, this is, I didn't want to see this. Lord, why don't you bring me in here digging holes and looking for stuff? And, oh, my God, man. Yeah. So sometimes when we discover things, sometimes the discoveries aren't all that great. And so, but the thing is, we have to process them through what God is trying to share with us, what we're trying to learn, what he's trying to teach us through what we discover, what he helps us to discover and see. And so, you know, and so when we learn from that, and when we learn how to process that, what we see and that things that we wish we hadn't saw, we're kind of glad we saw them at the same time because we knew something was weird about it. But at the same time, we're like going, man, that's like nastier than I thought. Dear God. Yeah. And that's what God has to look at all the time. And so sometimes he wants to share things with people. He wants to open us up to those things. But it's how we handle them, right? The same things like talking about Michael about how you handle your failures. The same type of thing, except it's like when God used to show me, he said, Randy, I'll show you the deepest, darkest secrets of people if I can trust you with them. So he would show me deep, dark secrets of people, and sometimes I didn't do real good with it. I went, oh, my God, I would never do that. I would, oh, that's so nasty. I've never done that. I would never. And the Lord starts, yeah, what did you just say? You'd never do it. What about that time you did that figure thing? I'm going like, yeah, it's kind of like that, right? Okay, sorry. You know, and start seeing all these things, you know, and how we handle things, how we handle. So, you know, so as I learned from that, God started, was able to show me people's deepest sins to help them, to uncondemn them, to get them forgiven, to get them cleansed and washed and not see it as, my God, that's nasty. Ooh, I never get, yeah, I'm getting away from it. No, it's like, okay, the Lord shows you that to help you, to help them, you know, be forgiven or be blessed or come to the other side of it. Right? And so he says, it's when he showed me, he said, if I could trust you with the secrets, not just the secrets of people, but my secrets, you know, things, revelation from the Word, if I can trust you with that, then I'll trust you with all secrets, right? Because I'll trust you with the secrets of people, and I trust you with my secrets. So that's what really God is wanting to open you up to, the secret realm, and how we handle things, how we handle and being, you know, like doing things publicly. There's a whole different realm of handling things. When we do things publicly, and we don't handle things right publicly, then our public life will never be really successful. So, you know, like with me, you know, I still mess up, you know, with, you know, I get upset over some of these preachers, and I'll say something like, bunch of idiots or something like that. And they're like, you know, no, that is, it is stupid. But sometimes, you know, so I can handle that better, you know. So it's like the more I learn how to grow and learn from my expressions and things, and Jesus was very expressive. He said, your father's the devil. I mean, that's pretty – I haven't done that yet. And he says, you know, why did separatists with a dead man's bones? You're snakes, you're vipers. I mean, come on. Some of the stuff I say is not much, but it doesn't matter. It's even if God wants me to use a more expressive term, instead of calling somebody an idiot, I call them a snake, you know, which is more biblical, right? So we do that thing. We learn how to, you know, express. And if God can trust us to express properly, and we don't always get it perfectly, I sure don't, we learn. You learn from it. If you say something, you do something, you go, okay, God, you know, I'm feeling kind of convicted about that. And you want to say it a little bit because you know how I feel about it. This is how you feel about it. So don't tell me you don't feel like that. I know you feel like that. But help me express it like Jesus did or how you want me to express it so I can be successful with God, you know, because Jesus was very successful with the Father, even when he was calling people snakes and vipers and whited sepulchers and the Father was the devil and all that. I mean, that wasn't real sweet, but you know what? Hey, yeah. And so we learn how to do things successfully by when we deal with the public and talking in public. Right, it's really something that God's trying to teach. He's trying to teach me that. He's wanting to teach you that too. He's showing you how to deal with things, you know, publicly, so that because God wants to use us publicly at times in different ways, then learn how to communicate and say the things God, the way He wants to say it, to make the point clear. Sometimes I get really upset, and I'm thinking, am I just in the flesh? What's going on here? And you know, I can not be in the flesh and be upset, but still not express myself properly. Right. So it's not bad to be upset because God hates merchandising his gospel, his word. You know, he hates it when people don't give to him what belongs to him. He hates that. Why? Because it opens up a door for the devil to rob people. And they start being robbed, and they get robbed of everything, not just money. They get robbed of their peace. They get robbed of everything. And that's why he hates it. So I could go on and on with that, but I'm going to stop with it. All right, you got it. All right, thank you very much. All right, 205-207, can I talk to you? Danette,
Alabama.
Oh, hi, Danette. All right, Danette. Yep, being faithful to God. You know, being faithful. You know, God is even faithful when we're not faithful because he knows that we're human beings and sometimes circumstances, things go on, we're having a bad day. You know, God's not subject to our bad days. To having a bad day. God didn't have a bad day. He may have a day that it looks like he's having a bad day because Jesus would look like he's having a bad day. And the disciples would be going like, man, did you see that when he got that whip out and started turning over those tables, John? Did you see that? Man, we knew he was having a bad day, but oh my God, what was that all about? He was just angry and my father's house. And they're like, going, what was it? And so they, you know, they're like, you know, was he having a bad? No, he wasn't having a bad day. He was having a day that he was dealing with some bad things. But sometimes we have days that we deal with bad things. Sometimes, you know, the way we feel, the way we're going through, the emotions we're going through. Sometimes, you know, anger is a good thing. It can be a very good thing. Like Jesus was very angry when he did that. But was he a sinner? Of course we know he never sinned, right? So his expressions with his anger was, you know, under the canopy of the Father. And he was expressing the feelings of the Father toward. This is my Father's temple. And he was angry and he turned around. You've made it a den of thieves. You've made it a house of merchandise, and that's what he called it in one version. In one set, he said he called it a house of merchandise, which is what I call it. And he just finally, he hated it. But it didn't mean that, you know, he wasn't having so when you're having a day where you're feeling rough and feeling, sometimes those rough days, and not necessarily saying you're in the flesh and you're in sin and you're in a bad attitude, you know, but it's sometimes it's God is like with Jesus, if you study that scripture, he even the day before he went in there and got the whoop out, he looked in there to see if they were in there. You read it, I think it's in John or Mark, I remember which one it's in, but he said it the day before he wasn't there to look, and he looks in the temple and he sees, and then he walked away, comes back the next day with a whip. Well, that just tells you he was like, This was premeditated anger. It was premeditated. I'm going to take care of some stuff today. It's time to take care of this. I can't handle it anymore. Yeah, they're still doing it. I've been praying to God to get them out of there, and they're still in there, stealing sheep, stealing doves in the courts. And, oh my God! So he thought about it. He made a whip, and he went in there. And so he was premeditated. But what was the whole thing doing? He was expressing. He's pressing one of the things that God dealing with some bad things with a what the disciples might have thought was a bad attitude. Jesus having a bad attitude day. But he wasn't having a bad attitude day. He was dealing with some bad things with an attitude. Yeah. And so we have to realize that when we're having a bad day, something we're feeling angry, we're feeling angry. We have to ask God, what do I apply this anger to? Am I just angry at myself? Are you angry at me? Or is the devil trying to get on me? What is going on? Ask him specifically, what's going on? What am I feeling this intensity for? Because intensity is to deal with things. That's really what intensity is there most of the time. And if we take it wrong, we condemn ourselves. Oh, I'm just having a bad attitude. No, this is like a disciple thing. No, Jesus was having a bad attitude day. No, he wasn't. He was dealing with some bad things with an attitude, right? But he wasn't sinning. And so we have to realize and see, you know, what God's saying and all that, and realize that there's times that we have kind of having a rough day, but what is this rough day all about? Why am I feeling angry and want to make a whip for? What is this all about? What are you dealing with in me, Jesus? What are you doing to help me, to change me? Or what are you doing that you want to change some of my circumstances? Or what are you doing? And so in that moment of passion, Jesus didn't walk in there and say, hey, boys, such a great day outside. Maybe you should take this outside. Yeah. Oh, your shiny little coins, they'll shine in the sunlight. It'll be so awesome. You're just really going to have a great day, okay? I'm going to help you pack up your stuff, and you're going to get it outside. All right? That'd be fine. All right, you over there. There you go. Let's go. And they're looking at him like, we're not doing nothing. We're here. We belong here. And that's why he didn't go in there like that. He didn't go in there like that. He went in there, you're making my father's house. So he was angry. He was dealing with it, but he wasn't a sin. The thing we have to ask ourselves is, what's God dealing with me on my rough days? On my days I'm feeling, you know, are you dealing with insecurity? Are you dealing with my pain? Are you dealing with my unforgiveness? Are you dealing with my whatever it is, and just be honest with God and say, God, you know, I know that Jesus went in with anger because it took that anger to deal with it. He didn't go in there being nice and sweet, you know, because that wasn't going to deal with that particular thing. All right? Other times he was nice and sweet and dealt with some things. That particular thing took some little bit of heat at your feet. A little bit of heat at your feet, go take it down, change it around, turn it around for God's glory. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I hope that makes sense. Did to me. All right, 803-991, who am I talking to over here, please?
This is Angela, South Carolina.
Hi, Angela. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela. God, I thank you for your breath, the breath of God. Breathe into her nostrils. Breathing in her nostrils, God, fresh life, fresh life, fresh life, fresh life, fresh life. Because when we get fresh life, it's the fresh life. It's having that freshness of God, as often as we can get it, because the freshness is what washes away and pushes out the things that have gotten stale, right? They got stale. Like, when our relationship with God, Angela, is spontaneous with him, and we're not just in a religious mode and just like, okay, I'm going to pray now. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going to really like this. God, here I am, and there you are. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, instead of like, hey, God, you know, I'm having a bad day today. I hope you're doing fine. Let's talk about this. Let's get together tonight right now. And so you talk with him, visit with him, you know, get things going on. And then you get up and you walk away and you walk together. He said, okay, come on, it's time to go. Let's go to work now. Go enjoy it. So, you know, so when your relationship is spontaneous with God, it's refreshing every day because you're dealing with different stuff every day. You're dealing with his glory. You're dealing with blessing. You're dealing with questions you have about this and that and the other. One day everything's fine. You're just enjoying life, laughing and giggling, having fun. They're feeling great, you know. And so the freshness of staying spontaneous and staying, you know, fresh with God and knowing that he's a person, except he's God the person, who's perfect and holy, but still loves us and is able to communicate with us through Jesus, because the blood of Christ is what allows him to enter into our lives and be our friends, be our God, be our Father. And so the spontaneousness of that and the unreligiousness of that you have and learn God teaching you how to the freshness, the refreshing of that. Like, give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? Fresh bread. When you get daily bread, that means you cook bread every day. People cook bread, they cook 25 loaves, and they got two kids in their family. 25 loaves, that's going to last them about 3 months. But what happens to that bread? It's not really very fresh. So, you know, so cooking bread every day, taking the time to cook bread, and, you know, or maybe every other day or something like that, and have fresh bread. There's something about fresh. The freshness washes away that staleness and all that stuff. That's because yesterday's manna, man, that's been processed through. You know, that fed me, took good. But now I got a new manna. I got new bread. I got new freshness. And because of the freshness, it washes away yesterday's old, because that becomes stale. Right? When they had the manna in the wilderness, Moses told him, he said, God told me, don't get more than you can eat, because if you leave it, it'll turn to worms and stink. So that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes, you know, so the fresh bread every day keeps you fresh, keeps you spontaneous with God, keeps that, because every time I don't have that with God, my religious thing kicks in, and I feel obligated to obey God because I'm better instead of because I love him, you know, which can happen to all of us. And God says, come on, Randy, let's go to work together. You know, it's not just prayer, man. Let's go to work. I'm going to go to work with you. All right, let's go to work. It's like I was telling last night about my dog. My dog, Lulu, she used to love. She thought I was going outside, man. She was like wagging that tail, looking at me. I want to go outside with Dad. You going to ride in the truck? Oh, I got to go with you in the truck. No, you can't go in the truck. And she would give me that look like, you're not going to let me go in the truck with you? Like, she wanted to be with me. It was like, yeah, man. It was like, her tail would start wagging. Like, oh, my God. Dad and I are going to be together. We're going to have fun, man. He's not going to leave me here by myself. We're going to go. It's not like Jesus. You know, we don't leave him there at the house in prayer. We leave the prayer mode, then we leave him there. We take him. He goes with us, and he likes to work. He likes to shop. He's a shopper. He's a food man. He knows how to do things, put things together, talk to people. He's into everything, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so God is really keeping our relationship with him fresh and not just in prayer with God in the mornings or in the evening or when we pray. It is like we start out with that, and then he just goes with us, and it's fresh bread all day long. Fresh Jesus, spontaneous freshness. You know, he just loves to tell us how to, you know, being a carpenter, and I'm not really a carpenter, but I built a lot of things and done a lot of woodwork and things like that. So he loves to tell you how to do stuff, man. Oh, he loves it. You just give him a chance. He gets pretty bossy sometimes, but it's in a fun way. Like, no, don't do that like that. You can get your finger off, number one, you're doing it wrong. Let me show you how to do that right here, like this, and turn it like that, turn it like that. Okay. And then things start making sense. Going, why didn't I think about that before? The Lord goes, yeah, exactly. You need to talk to me more about that. I'm into this stuff, man. I know this stuff. I know how this stuff works. I know, yeah, I'll show you. And what is it? Fresh. Not religion, like, okay, God, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to go to work. See you tomorrow morning. You know, he goes with us like my dog when he's like, yeah, be together and loving it. I don't know why I'm talking like that, but God knows. All right. 612-991, who I talk to you from, please.
Bless you, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Hi, Joyce. All right. Good to have you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Joyce from Minnesota. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for that covering, God, the covering over her life, that you are her covering, God. You know, is it good to have pastoral covering and that kind of covering? If you can get in the covering, yeah, that's fine. That's great. You know, coverings are different things. And so your husband can be your covering. You know, a pastor can be your covering. There's different kind of coverings that we have. We have coverings when we go to work. We have people who, you know, cover us, or they are, you know, they're watching over us, and, you know, they got to think to protect and guide and keep and watch and help and supply and all that. So, God's really going to opening you up to that thing of who your covering is. You know, that he's your covering. Does that mean we don't ever have a pastoral covering? We don't ever have none. You know, we can still have a covering without having it for a while, right? We don't have to have the man covering with. We don't have to have a husband covering. We don't have to have a religious thing covering. You know, if that's available and that's there, God, have it. But coverings come in a lot of different ways. Men try to tell us the coverings work a certain way. You have to come some, you know, like to work, come to church at my church and be a part of my, and that's great. And it's definitely important. But at the same time, you know, just like what's happened with the COVID situation with people working at home, you know, people start working at home. You know what the revelation of that was, Joyce, about people working at home? Was that they're covering. They were not even in the office anymore. They were at home. And they were still covered. They were still working, but they were working from home, right? Brought in a whole different realm of understanding that how to do business. It's like in that sense, COVID was kind of a blessing. And so what I'm trying to say is that, so the covering thing and being protected, am I covered, and God, you know, these coverings are important. But knowing that God can cover you from home, there's times and seasons where God covers you from home. You know, there's different ways that he does it. So don't let people lock you into or try to, you know, the old teachings on coverings that are misappropriated, and God's showing you that I'm covering you. I'm watching over you. You know, I'm your protector. I'm your provider. I'm your covering. I'm going to show you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to bring the things to you that you need. And I'm going to connect with you. I can connect with you without you having to, quote, go to the job site at the office and be around all the other people all the time. And in order for you to be able to be a part of the business, you know, you can, you know, that's what COVID did. It took us away from that to, you know, we learned how to communicate with people at a distance but still get the same job done. So I don't know why I'm saying all that exactly. Well, to translate that, but. It's about coverings and knowing that who our covering is. And not everything always is so stringent and religious and so legalistic, right? Yeah. All right. Amen. All right. 75424, who am I talking to from?
Hey, Randy. This is Donald and Tony from Florida.
Oh. Hey. All right. Good to have you guys. Donald and Tony from Florida. Thank you, Jesus, for those new shoes. Oh, you got some new shoes, huh? Wow, I've gotten the shoe revelation a few times in the last year. I've gotten more shoe revelations in the last year and a half than I ever had. And I just saw you guys having new shoes, like running shoes, moving shoes, like, you know, moving forward shoes, like going shoes. Yeah. All right, interesting, very interesting. So, Lord, I thank you for those new shoes. I thank you for that. You know, new shoes speak of your walk, your job, your what you're doing. You know, moving forward, getting out, moving forward. You know, moving, running, working, going. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord, for that new activation, Father, that you put in her spirit to let you put the shoes on their feet, and the shoes on your feet. You know, identify you and that you're on the go, you're on the move. You know, we have our slippers we wear. I don't really wear slippers, but some people do. Slippers they put on when they get home, you know, they walk around the house with slippers on. You know, I just walk around with my bare feet, you know, around the house. But slippers identify where you're at, what you're doing, for the most part. I'm in a restful place. I'm not running a marathon. I'm not out working. I'm, you know, kind of in a restful mode, and that's what they represent. So what I saw was like tennis shoes with you guys, like it's, you know, moving, like, you know, on the run, on the go. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that, and I thank you, Lord, for the food and for the things you're feeding them, Father, and that you're giving them new food. Okay, so here it is. Yeah, there you go, the new food. There, I just caught it, the new food. The new food, you know, when they were in the wilderness, they got manna given to them supernaturally from God. It came, rained down every morning, fresh manna every day. God did it supernaturally. That's the way he provided for them in the wilderness. It's pretty cool. You know, rain down, and it just rained down. And they didn't know where exactly if it was going to show up tomorrow or not, but it always did, you know. But it was a supernatural thing. It wasn't just like something natural. It was a supernatural. So when they crossed over the Jordan, they, you know, immediately the manna just quit, it ceased. The way God was providing for them, the way God was moving, the way it changed into a place where they said they ate of the corn of the land, which means that they were producing from the land they were in, from this new place that they were into. The production, the food, they're going to produce their own food from their own seed. They're not going to be in Egypt, you know, all of Egypt stuff, or be in the wilderness where God's. Those were two different kinds of provision. The provision of Egypt was, you know, they were slaves. In the wilderness, they were coming out of slavery, but they were in between. They were being provided supernaturally by God, which is kind of hard on them, really, in many ways. And so the third level of this particular thing is that when they got into Canaan land, it says the manna stopped, and they started learning to eat from the corn of the land. And so, in other words, they got their own house, their own property, their own businesses. They planted their own crops. You know, they didn't have to wait for it to, you know, rain down manna every morning. They together, it was like, that was really awesome because it's so supernatural. But at the same time, that was not the way we want to live our life every day, right? The way we live our life every day is be in our own land, our own house, our own job, our own, you know, our own businesses, and produce the business and the money from the land we're in, from the place we're in. I mean, that's our own. That's God-given, right? So thank you, Jesus, for that. Maybe it's crossing over shoes or something. I'm not sure what that is, but moving over, moving on up, moving on in to the Canaan land. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for that activation, for that thing, because it was like all of a sudden, that's kind of what happened with you guys, really, you and Tanya, is that one day you got a phone call or whatever, called in the office, and they said, okay, you're in a new season now. You're going to cross over. In other words, see ya. No more, you know, salary from us. You're going to, you know, so because you got that word before, after that, whatever it was, you understand what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you were entering into a whole other place. So now you've been watching God, you know, provide in you know, and just kind of like rain down from, you never know where it's going to come from, that kind of thing. And that's been great, and it's awesome. But it's like God says, I'm putting you in a place where you're going to produce from the ground, you know, from your own ground, from your own things. And, yeah, so cool. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for every process you bring us through. Sometimes we're slaves, and then sometimes we're in between being provided supernaturally by God, never know where it's going to come from, but it's, in a way, it's like we're not going to live our whole life like this. You know, I'm tired of manna. I want to grow corn and eat cow meat, eat some lamb chops and that kind of thing. So we're going to, you know, when they did that in Canaan, then, yeah, all right. So thank you, Jesus, for that and for that changing of their food. Amen. Okay. All right. 804-218, you want to talk to your group, please? All right, 804-218, are you there? All right. I don't know if she's sleeping or what's going on, but we're glad to have you tonight. So, Angie from Virginia, I'll just say it for you. Thank you, Lord, for Angie from Virginia. I thank you, Lord, for the knife of the circumcision. I know you're a girl, and girls don't get circumcised, but their hearts do, right? Our hearts do. The knife of God's circumcision, like when Abraham was circumcised, well, not circumcised, when he was offering up Isaac, in a sense, that was, you know, he was circumcising his heart. In other words, he was offering his heart to God through the offering of his son. When he was cutting Isaac, he'd rather have cut his own heart out than cut his own son, right? So, and that's the sense, that's really what was doing. He had that knife, he was going to cut Isaac, he was cutting his own heart, he was circumcising his own heart at a level that had never happened before. Excuse me. And then God turned around and said, man, yeah, there's a provision for you. Don't do it, stop. And because you circumcised your heart, because you offered up your son, which was, you know, like to a father who loves his child, it's like that's like cutting your own heart out, basically. And that's what happened. He circumcised his heart, in a sense. And so what happened, God said, stop. I just want to see if you would. You're a willing vessel. You're able to. You did it. And so that's really wonderful. And now I have – so he opened up the ram in the thicket, opened up his eyes. The Bible says, Angie, that his eyes were open. And the ram was there all the time. And all of a sudden his eyes were open, and – he said, the God said, I provided for you a ram in the thicket. So he takes the ram, and he offers up the ram, right? So it's the provision of God. But Lord, I thank you for that thing of her circumcising her heart, offering up that place in her life, God, in Jesus' name, where what you're saying, what she's doing, what she's done, and opening her eyes to the provision of the Father for her. Hallelujah. Open up her eyes. Yeah. Amen. That was supernaturally provided by God from a natural animal, from a, you know, a earthly animal, a ram in the thicket. It's an actual animal. The God got caught. He probably put something in the thicket there, and the ram was trying to eat it. Got caught in the ram. They said, I got you now. Abraham will be along the way here in a little bit. And so the process he went through was offering his heart up, and then God opened his eyes to the new provision. So thank you, Lord, for that. Open that up in Jesus' name. Bless that. Amen. All right, 903-808. You want to talk to Ruth, please?
Hi, this is Jeannie from Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. All right, good to have you. All right, another Texas girl. Last night, somebody was saying, you know, they might want to move to Texas. I think it was Lisa. I don't know if she was playing or what. But she said, oh, although, you know, like Miss Jeannie, it lives in Texas. I want to come be around her. And they're going like, okay, I don't know. Why not? God, open up Pennsylvania. We'd love to have you, but let's believe God to not just open up Texas, and that Texas be used by God, you know, to break the system and break the chain of the system of the world, and to reveal the provision of God through the state of Texas, but Pennsylvania. And so she kind of started talking about that. But I think that this whole thing about Texas, Jeannie, we're going to see Texas and as well as other states. And I think God is going to put it on your heart to pray about other cities, other states, that is, that they become like Texas in the sense, or something like it, where they're breaking free from the system of the, you know, like our governor's doing. And the fact that, I think part of your land and your property and God's doing, he's like preparing that. He's like, he's saying, you know, I'm getting you ready for the future, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to bless Texas. I'm going to bless, God bless Texas. Yeah, exactly. Bless Texas, because we just happen to have our big state, and we have a big governor doing a lot of good things, breaking loose of the system. So it's going to open up the door, Jeannie, for Texas to be like a father and a mother, like a father and mother state. And so he's going to choose mothers and fathers, people who have hearts, a shepherd's heart, that will be ready to, you know, help people find their land, help people find their place. You know, like when they moved into Canaan, you know, Moses had already off, you know, the lots had already been kind of cut out, basically, and Joshua just, you know, told them, this is your lot, that's your lot, this is your lot. And so to help people find their lot in their land, whether it's Texas or wherever it's at, to help people find that. You kind of done that with me a little bit, to a certain degree with what we're trying to do here with PGN for a studio. But so it's kind of like that. I see, you know, I saw the joy in your heart. Like you love dealing with that stuff. You like, you know, like messing with it, it seems like. Because you'd like to be helpful and help people find. But there's something about finding that place. And because you've gone through this thing of understanding what it's like to have a heart for a place, and then God opens it up for you, and understanding the joy of that and the pleasure of that, and, yeah, it's work and all that, but how important it is and how God has designed it and how it's his will, as we know from the Israelites moving into the land of Canaan, and how important land was to them and why he wanted them in that land. Why he wanted them in the lot that they were in, like, you know, Issachar was in, they had their land, you know. The Benjaminites had their land, you know. They all had, Joseph's family had their land. They all had different lots of land, and each one was very strategic and very important that God placed them in that place. And that's what's going on in Texas right now, and eventually around the globe, through different states. The one world system is going to have their states and their countries. Some countries will be stronger than others, like the United States. I'm hoping that there will just be a few spots here and there that have, you know, that are pretty much inundated with system people because they're probably all going to hang together. They probably want to be in Texas. I mean, I know people personally that I know closely that are heathen, that are not right with God, and they do not like Texas because of that Abbott guy, what he believes. You don't believe, like, they believe some really nasty stuff, what I call nasty stuff, you know, some ungodly stuff. And because, you know, he doesn't believe it, they want to move out to somewhere else, you know. So we're seeing that. And so somehow, some way, you're going to be a part of that. And getting people in the land where they belong, getting ready actually for the millennium, but in the sense that before that, that we get preparation going on for the end time so that Texas and Florida and other states that will be godly states, that will have a lot of godly people in them, that we'll have our own satellites, our own systems, where we can have our own banking, our own food. You know, Texas is going to provide a lot of food for people, the whole thing, for the whole world to a certain degree, but so will other states and other countries and other areas of the United States also going to have food. But all that is the next phase of what's going on. And that's why all of a sudden, you know, the land's high, everything's going on. God's positioning people. He's positioned you. You've been positioned by God. And so not just with the land you're on, but spiritually as a shepherd, a shepherd's heart. And, yeah, so, amen. Well, I could go off on that. There's a whole lot more to that that I know prophetically that has to do with land and property in Texas as well as other states. But, man, get ready because we're talking about revival. We're going to have revival in every core of our state, every core of our life. Every part of our life, land, property, homes, healings, miracles, revival, you know, churches, or, you know, going to have battles we never had because the system's going to try to always be invading us. They're going to try to invade Texas in many different ways, trying to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. All right. So anyway, arm your heart with that. Let God show you. He probably already is, but with what's going on with some of that so we can be prepared for our purpose, part of our purpose. Amen. Shepherd's anointing. That's what Moses did, the shepherd. God showed him what each Abraham walked the land, but I forget how God did it with Moses, but he showed him who was going to live where and all that in the land. Yeah, that was already appointed. I think Moses did that, and then he told Joshua, and Joshua actually made sure it happened. That's the kind of the process we're going to see with this. It's going to be awesome. When everything is positioned, it's going to be powerful. All right, 847-505, we want to talk to Ruth Trump, please. Are you there? All right, Marjorie, I think it's Marjorie. Marjorie, are you there? I think it's Marjorie from Illinois. Thank you, Marjorie. I think you're on there, so I'm going to think that's you. All right, Marjorie from Illinois. Sometimes if I don't know, if I think I get on my text thing and I try to look at the number, but I don't always find everybody. But I think it's Marjorie there. So Marjorie, God bless you. Thank you, Jesus, for Marjorie. Lord, I thank you for her legs, for giving her legs, your walk with God. God, strengthen your walk so you can handle more responsibilities, handle more. More responsibility means God's going to bring someone into your life. That becomes a responsibility, right? Because you learn how to handle it, you learn how to live with it, you learn how to walk with it, you learn how to fellowship, you learn how to, you know, be who you are, learn how to give what you have and lay your life down at times and be a blessing. And so, God's really showing you how to, your walk, making your walk strong where things we're carrying a heavier load, heavier meaning things God has given you to carry, but it's more than you have. And so knowing that, you know, when God brings relationships into your life, it becomes a burden, you know, and it becomes a burden from God that you learn from, you grow from, you go, okay, God, how do I handle this? And so it's a growing time, a growing experience. And you start seeing that, hey, man, this is a great learning time because I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm getting taller. My legs are becoming stronger. My walk is becoming greater. I can handle more. I can do more. I have more wisdom. Yeah, and I thank you, Jesus, for the wisdom you've given Marge, God, to have relationship, to be able to carry those things, to walk in them, to be a blessing to a man, to be a blessing to other human beings, God, in Jesus' name, open her up to that, God, so she can realize that the burden with that is a God burden. Amen. And it's a joy to carry it. It's a joy to have that those relationships in our life. Amen. It's work, but it's a joy because it comes from God. God's bringing you. He's bringing it to you. Yeah. All right, 863-605, and we'll talk to you real quick.
Hey, Randy, it's Nikki from Florida.
Hey, Nikki. All right, Nikki is having some physical things going on with her, some bumps in her head and that kind of thing. She said in her last prayer, we've been praying for you, believing God with you, to do a thing. To do a thing, to do a thing, you know, love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as, seek God first and he'll add all these things. That's the thing I can think about. In seeking God first, seek the Lord, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you, all these things. And like the word, first word I got was things. So I thank you, Lord, for those things. Because once we get our life in order, in order not just like being perfect, but just as God, you know, God through time, through work, through seasons that we get into, he puts our lives in order. He puts our minds in order. He helps us start thinking differently than we used to. We're growing in our thinking. We're growing in our revelation. We're growing in what we listen to. We're growing in how we know the voice of God. We're growing in how we, you know, talk to people. We're growing in how we, you know, are with our husbands and our wives. We're growing in how we are with our children. We're growing with our – and when you grow in that, you know, and then God starts saying, okay, you've been seeking first kingdom. I'm not going to add all these things to these things, the things that you need, the things. Things are not an idol. Things are not ungodly. Things are the – it says we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, God adds all these things to you. And so I think, Lord, that the things have to do with the will of God for their life. The things have to do with the money they need. The things have to do with the material that they need. The things have to do with the people that they need around them. The things are to do with, you know, the cars and the houses and the things. The things that God has provided through his covenant. And I thank you, Lord, for those things, for the things around. Not things to have things to just have things, but things that are needed to do the work of God. Things that are, like, if you need a car to go travel to do a certain thing, and, you know, maybe a little bus or something, go take people somewhere and deliver people to, you know, get food and different. You know, if you need that bus and you don't have the bus, man, seeking a thing, seeking God first, doing this work, letting God use you with where you're at. And then eventually when you get in that place where he says, okay, I can trust you some things, so I'm going to bring you that bus now. Then it brings you that bus, and then you go, oh, my God, you know, I thought I needed this 6 months ago, but now I need it more than ever. And, God, you brought it. You brought me that thing I needed. And I thank you, Lord, that now I can take more people to get food. Now I can take more people to do whatever, take them to revivals or something, you know, and get them healed. And take, like Catherine Coleman used to do, she used to have people who would rent buses and take people, you know. So that thing, those things are important, right? In Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for the things realm. The things that are for the will of God, the things that are for the blessing of God, the things that we need to do your will, like the bus situation, the things that we need for our family, the house that we need for to have a home and a house and something we can pass down to our children. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open up those things, God. Now, those things don't bring satisfaction to us like God does, but when God rewards them, don't we value them? Because it came from, if you had a big bow, and a big thing show up with a big bus out in the front, and it had a big bow on it from God, and you go, hey, I don't care about those things. Now you'd be going, thank you, God, and you cry, it's so amazing, thank you, Jesus, that bus is so God. Oh, all she cares about is things. No, it's just that thing came from God because it's their thing that God wants to do. The thing ministry. Yeah, the thing could be food, you know, the thing could be a lot of things. And so the things, seek first kingdom of his righteousness and all these things God will add. Hallelujah. Amen. And to Charles, God, we thank for Charles. Thank you, Lord, that you're adding to him, God, showing him how to broaden his you know, the people that he knows, the people that the connections that you're giving him, God, to broaden those connections and to, you know, when we're faithful to the connections God gives us and we do them right, then God adds to those connections. He adds, he multiplies them. We treat people right in those connections that we have, but once he's given us, and we get tested with that, and we work it, and we make mistakes, and we fail, and say, okay, I better need to be doing it right here, better there, better there, better there, and I get better at it, better at it. Then God says, okay, now I'm ready to add more connections to you. So I thank you, Lord, for the connection in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. 850-491, you might talk to Ruth from, please.
This is Donna from Florida.
Hi, Donna. Hi, Donna from Florida. All right, revelation, revelation, revelation. My God, the spirit of revelation, the revealing of Christ. What is the revealing of Christ? When we talk about the book of Revelation, Donna, you know, people to realize that the book of Revelation is not just, it's the revelation, it's the revelation, it's the revealing of Christ. Well, there's very little of it in there. It's about Christ. I mean, you know, if you look at it one way, like that ain't talking about Jesus, that's talking about the devil. They're talking about, you know, monsters and creepy things. And, yeah, that's not Jesus. Jesus don't look like that at all. He looks like, you know, but if you don't realize that the revelation of Jesus is what's happening in the end times, images and showing, you know, the things that are going on with certain people and certain things and what's going on with a certain country and how the devil's going to do things, how the Jews are going to do things, how the Gentiles are going to, you and Gentiles are going to be one thing, they're all going to be called Jews. The Gentiles and the Jews are going to be called real Jews. You know, and so in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of revelation, Father, that you give her. That's not just about seeing Jesus on the throne. You know, that's not just the revelation of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus is how are things going to unfold? What plan does God have? Well, he gives that in the book of Revelation, but the problem is, you know, most people don't understand it because the spirit of revelation is not unfolding it for them. And plus, many people already have their mind made up what things mean. So I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of revelation in Donna, God. Open her up, God. Not just for scriptural things and biblical things, but the spirit of revelation works for everything in life. You know, what car to buy, what people to hang out with, how to treat people, how to deal with, you know, relationships and all that thing. The spirit of revelation is for everything. Spirit of revelation, the revealing of Christ, is because Christ reveals how we treat people, how people treat us, how things are supposed to be, how he wants them to be, you know, how they're going to have the process of how it's going to work and how it's going to, he's going to expose this, like the book of Revelation, he's going to, you know, expose the Antichrist and reveal him and manifest him, and then he's going to just come back and destroy him. You know, it's not just all, everything peachy, creamy, and rosy. It's about all the battles, the struggles, and how God's going to do it. That's the revealing of Christ. Happens the same thing with relationships and business and what are we doing and what's going on and what we're supposed to be doing, you know, and how we do it and for what purpose we're doing it, and God's showing those things. That's all the spirit of revelation. It's the revelation of Christ, all that is. He's very concerned about what you do and who you hang with and how you're blessing people and how you're being a blessing. That's all Jesus. That's all the revelation of Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, for taking away, you know, all the clouds, removing the clouds, and bring in the glory of God, the glory cloud, Father, of revelation of Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. The revealing of Christ in her life, God, and to be used by God to bring that revealing to other people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, hallelujah. The revealing of Christ. Wow. Amen. That's kind of heavy, really cool. The revealing of Christ, because it works out, you know, it works in every area of life. That's what's so amazing about it. Amen. We think it's all about seeing Jesus and knowing about Jesus, but knowing about Jesus is learning how to treat people. It's learning how to put the family in order, how children need to be raised, you know, all the whole thing. It's all the revealing of Christ. He's the head of it. Amen. But he knows. All right, 253-249, you want to talk to Ruth from, please?
Yeah, it's Julia from Washington State.
What's your first name, please, dear?
Julia.
Julia. Oh, hi, Julia. Okay. Julia, thank you. Okay, yeah, got you. Thank you very much, Julia. I appreciate that. All right, thank you, Julia. Yeah, God's showing you how to drink from him. Sometimes we drink water, you know. Water is very important. Water is something we can't live without. We can live without other things, but we can't live without water, right? The body needs water. A lot of people still don't got that right. They still don't understand that. They think water, drinking coffee or juice or Gatorade or something, but water, drinking water. Jesus said, all you who are thirsty, come unto me and drink. But when Jesus gives you drink, he gives you the drink that you need. If you need water, he gives you water. If you need some juice with some nutrition in it, he gives that to you. And I'm not talking about just natural things. I'm talking about spiritual things. So when we come to Jesus, what are we drinking? Sometimes we come to him and all we drink is water. Water, water, water. Why? Because you're dehydrated. I know people that have been dehydrated that have not even realized they were dehydrated. I'm drinking plenty of juice and plenty of stuff. How can I be dehydrated? They go to the doctor and the doctor says, no, you're not dying. I've had a friend of mine. Actually, this happened to an older lady. You're not dying. She thought she was dying. No, you shook him through all kinds of tests, scans and everything, thinking, you're going to find out what's wrong with me. And the doctor says, honey, there's one thing wrong with you, that you're dehydrated. Your system's not working well. So you see, that come and drink with me is not just, so how to drink from the water of God's word. You know, the washing the water of the word. So the water, just water is important. But there's other drinks. There's wine. And the Bible talks about, you know, being to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the wine of the Spirit. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they were accused of being drunk. And he says, no, it's the wine of the Lord. Jesus turned the water into wine. Right, so sometimes water needs to be turned into wine because it's a whole different thing. It's celebratory. There's different things that we drink from that create, like drinking wine of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, it brings a celebratory thing of being able to relax and be able to really let go. And that's kind of what, you know, I know back in my days, you know, I know that's what drinking did for me. It's like, let me relax. Sometimes relaxing too much. If you drink just enough, though, maybe it's not so bad, right? So, but the whole thing is that being able to find out the drinking thing. Eating is a whole different thing. Drinking. What do you drink? I drink, you know, I personally, for my health, I drink certain things. I don't drink Coke. I drink a Coke maybe once in a while. Every once in a while I drink Coke because they're really bad for you. I eat arthritis from Coke. That's why I don't drink anymore. And so you find out what to drink, like the Cokes every day, messed me up, gave me arthritis. So what you're drinking, you know, from in life is sometimes can make you sick. It can give you arthritis, like drinking Cokes and Diet Coke did for me. It's the same thing in the spirit realm. And God's showing you how to drink from messages, how to drink from God, how to, in your prayer time, in your fellowship time, how to drink. God, I don't know what I need today. I feel like I need some joy. So I don't know if joy means you're going to give me some wine of the Spirit today. I need some joy. I need to relax. I need some peace. I need to be laid back. I'm getting too intense. I need to relax. I'm in shock. I need help. So give me the drink that I need. Give me the drink that I need. And whatever he gives you, Jesus said, come to me, all you that are thirsty, and drink. Drink. Drinking is extremely important. Amen. So I thank you, Lord, for her thirst. All you are thirsty, come unto me and drink. I thank you, Lord, for her thirst. That thirst she has for you, God, you're going to give her the drink that she needs, whatever that is, of you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. She needs a little coffee drink to get her going in the morning, or some kind of something spiritual to, you know, awaken her. You know, like just a natural example, but God does it. He does things that awaken us, that get us, you know, give us energy. Like when I get things from God, it gives me energy. I can run around the block, literally, from the energy that when I read something and God goes, this is what that means, Randy. I'm going like, whoo, wow, man. That's like, whoa, what was that drink? I don't know, man. But I mean, literally, I can get up and run around the block a bunch of times with that energy. It's like an energy drink, you know, literally, energy, power. Drink it. So whatever you need. Sometimes we drink peace. So God's showing you how to drink from the Spirit of God. He knows what you need. Just give it to him, his presence. And Lord, you know, you said, come unto you. If I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. I need love. I need affection. I need peace. I need joy today. And we need it every day, right? God's showing you. You're going to become a big drinker. Yeah. You're going to drink big from the Lord. He's going to show you how to drink. And what you drink, you know, now they have drinks that make you healthy, right? There's drinks that make you healthy. And so some people go, I have a friend right now that's talking about getting, you know, organic greens and making them a green drink, you know, for health. And so, you know, that's a good, but that's not the only thing they're doing. They're drinking water, they drink coffee, they drink different things. But, you know, and sometimes knowing what we need, God knows what we need. And we come to him, we say, God, if I need a green drink today, give me a green drink, whatever you need. I just satisfy me. I trust you. And God will start showing you how to drink from him. Amen. In a beautiful way. All right. I think, did I get this one? 850-491. Did I get this already? Hello? Echo 850-491. Are you there?
It's me, Randy. It's Donna from Florida. You already got me.
Oh, Donna. Okay. I thought I got you. I thought I did. I had a couple of numbers there that are pretty close to the same here. So I'm getting lost, y'all. All right. So I got that. So 253. Did I get 253? I probably did. 253-249.
Yeah, Julia,
okay.
Yeah, you did.
All right, thank you. I got some of the numbers here in front of me. I, when I move my hand, I get them, they get all mixed up. So, all right, I know I don't have this one here because I don't have this one. 214-434. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Kimberly in Texas.
It's who?
I'm sorry, it's Kimberly in Texas.
Kimberly, hi Kimberly. Yes, Kimberly texted today. Yes, Sharon. Sorry, I just saw you. I did forget about you. Thanks for reminding me. Is that Sharon? Was that Sharon? Yeah, it was Sharon. Sharon, thank you for reminding me. Okay. Kimberly. All right, Kimberly, and then. Try to get Joyce. Are you in the queue, Joyce? Yeah, you're down there a ways, though. You're down. You're in line, but you're way down there. I'll get to you when I get you. I go by one person after the other. However, people get in line as I go. So you're about five or six people down, but I do see you. So, yeah, not that I'm forgetting you. I just haven't got to you yet. All right, because I go one after the other. All right, there you go, Sharon. Thank you. It's for our new people that need to know that. Yeah, I go from one person to the next. I don't jump around on this. Unless somebody gets lost in line, gets loses their place in line, then I will do that. But other than that, I don't. Go right one caller after the other as they're on the show. All right. All right, Kimberly. Thank you, Lord, for Kimberly from Texas. Thank you, Lord, for Kimberly. God, I thank you, Father, for her lungs, God, that you're opening up her lungs, teaching her how to breathe in the atmospheres. Like you can breathe in an atmosphere and, you know, walk into sometimes when I used to travel, I go from, you know, city to city, from church to church. You can be in the same town and go from one church to another church, like one church in the morning, another church in the night, and the atmosphere would be completely different in each one. You're not going, okay, what does this mean? What's this atmosphere for? But so you have a thing, Kimberly, about atmospheres and being able to have an atmosphere, whether it's an atmosphere from a person. You know, what does this atmosphere mean? How come I'm feeling this depression, this oppression, this vexing, the problem, does it mean that they're trying to vex me, or the devil's vexing them, or they're vexing themselves? How do I deal with this? So being sensitive to atmospheres and to environment and being able to discern, you know, what is this for? Like, you know, like I've had times where I just would, you know, I'm a pretty upbeat person most of the time. I do have my day. But, you know, one day I was just like upbeat as I could be, having a good time, enjoying, I'm at work, you know, in this place. All of a sudden, I started feeling down, discouraged, wanting to give up on life. Just like that, just boom, boom. I went, God, what's going on? And I started a little nervous. It's really bad. I'm like, my God, what, Lord, what's happening here? And he just showed me. He gave me the name of a person. Show me that I was feeling it, right? Yeah, I was feeling it. And so so sure enough, I thought, well, if I'm really feeling it, I'm gonna give him a call. That their husband was a friend of mine. Her husband was a friend of mine. I didn't really know her that well. But the Lord said, yeah, call him. As soon as she answered the phone, I said, hey, his name was Linda. I said, hey, Linda. Wait a minute. Yeah, hey, Linda, how are you feeling today? And she started opening her mouth. I said, hang on a second. I'm going to tell you exactly how you're feeling. She went, okay. I mean, I told her how I was feeling. She said, Randy Chandler, thank you for calling. I didn't really even know her that well. She said, man, you know, that you just read my mail. That's exactly how I'm feeling today. You know, and I wasn't even around her. I'm around her husband more than her. Very seldom ever saw her, but, you know, God just, you know, connected me that day and told me it was her. You know, okay, wow, I'm going to test it out and see. So I was picked up on that, and then when I when I called her and she said that, and I said, hang on, I'm going to tell you how you feel. And when I did, and it was exact, she said, that's exactly how I feel. You know, it was, I was picking up the atmosphere of a human being, and God was letting me, you know, feel and see and understand what they're going through. And it was really affecting me. And so, you know, so when I went in, I did that, of course it left me, but I prayed for her to get filled with the Holy Spirit, which I don't think she was at the time. She wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit at the time. So I said, I'm going to pray to fill the Holy Spirit so you can go through your battles better, all that. And so she said, thank you. And she went to the park. And, you know, she just had amazing, you know, how Jesus knew about her, and very precisely because the atmosphere, the environment that God was, you know, exposing me to her environment. You know, even though I was, I don't even know where they lived exactly as far as where I was at. It was, you know, we always met at somebody else's house. And so, you know, so I wasn't even sure where they were, but yet God connected me to their atmosphere. So God's going to, you have a gift like that. You're going to be able to feel people, know people. Sometimes people, you'll ask people if they're feeling that way, and they won't admit it. So you can't always go by what people say. But sometimes people will be honest, sometimes they won't. But God really wants you to be able to feel people, know people, to minister to them, to help them, to love them, to help them say, man, if this is what you feel like, you know, I'm going to help, I'm going to spend some time with you, and, you know, I'm going to love you, be friends with you, whatever it takes to get you out of this, because, wow. And so when we do that, God rewards us for that. What does he reward us with? Whatever you need, you know, whatever you desire from him. If he wants you to do that more, you'll be rewarded with more connections to people to be able to do what, like what I did. You know, it was, you know, one thing that I really remember big time that happened to me. But so God showed Kimberly God how to do that in every area, whether people that are close to her, those that are distant, whatever, show her and let her see how to help, how to, you know, be a blessing, and her compassion, God, that her compassion be able to flow out in those ways, because she can feel and sense and know people without even being really in their next to them or, you know, in front of them. That's kind of what I do on PGN. You know, some people are way far on the other part of the world, but I feel them. You know, I sometimes know, you know, what's going on with them sometimes, depending on what's happening. But, so I thank you, Lord, for that gift, for stirring up the gifts in her, God, and let her learn how to obey you in those things so that she can get the rewards. The rewards are the things that God blesses you with to do the will of the Father. That's why we don't reject rewards and say, oh, I'm not really into this for the rewards. Yeah, we are. We're into it for the rewards, because the rewards are the things God blesses us with when we obey him, to get his will done. So when we say we don't want the rewards, I'm not interested in the rewards, we're saying we don't want to have the provision from God to do his will. It's not just fluffy, stuffy stuff to have extra, the reward. No, it is to do the will of God. I've been teaching on that a lot lately. But anyway, God's going to bless you with rewards, girl, and receive them. Don't do like I did. I'm not really interested in I was so righteous. I'm not really interested in the rewards. Because what they were talking, what I was told the rewards were, made it look like I was being selfish on one of them. So I didn't want to be caught dead wanting the rewards, right? That's not a very good motive. Yeah, God really taught me different. He said it had nothing to do with the way the world talks about rewards. My rewards to you are to help you get my will done and literally bring provision to you, the people and everything. All right, 334-590, who am I talking from? Who am I talking to and where are you from, please?
Sure.
334-590, are you there?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello?
It's Jayla.
Who am I talking? Oh, hi, Jayla. Oh, okay, Jayla, sorry. Gotcha. I think you texted me earlier. Thank you. I'm just going in line. I go right down the line. And when people get in line, in fact, if you want to get in line earlier, not just you, but everybody, if you want to get in line early and get the first, be the first, you know, one at the top, you can call in at, like our show's at 9 o'clock, so you can call in. You can start calling in at 8:45 on Wednesdays and get in at 8:45 and then be at the top of the line. Because the show, even though the show that starts at 9, you can call in. They let you call in 15 minutes early and get in line if you want to do that. So I think Jayla knows that already, but many people who are listening tonight don't know that. And so some people are calling in because their time zones are different, and they wait until the end of the show because it's still early or late or whatever in their time zone. So we understand all that, and thank you for it. But letting you know, you can call in 15 minutes early and get in at the top if you want. All right, Jayla, thank you for being with us. Thank you, Jesus, for the hand of God on her, God, for the I see the hand of God going into your belly area, like in your stomach belly area, and settling your nerves and settling your gut. You know, the Bible, a lot of doctors say that if your gut's healthy, you know, you're healthy. And so the same thing in the spirit realm. When our gut is healthy, sometimes what things get down in our gut are the things that mess with us down deep. And once we get that out of there, like grief or sorrow or pain or, we get wondering, if God's really going to bless us, whatever's going on. And we start suffering from, feeling lonely and all the different things we all go through. And the things that get down in our gut. So I see God reaching down there and putting his hand on your gut area, your belly area. And I kind of know what that means because he's touching those things that are touching you, that are, causing your health. He wants your health, your spiritual health and your emotional health, your mental health and your gut health to be blessed, to be, that's why it says out of your rivers of living water, because that's why our prayer life and our seeking God and our getting in a place where we can get encouraged and built up, because it gets us stirred up and it stirs up the river, it stirs up the waters, it stirs up the glory of God in us, where we can, where our gut gets cleansed on a regular basis, because every day things go on. I mean, I have stuff going there. I get discouraged. People say things that are ugly. They say things that are rude. Some people, sometimes life just doesn't go that well. Everything's not going like you want it to go. And it gets down to your gut. Everything, it settles down into your gut. And so God has to, that's why he gives us daily bread, a daily cleansing, a daily washing. It's not because we're big sinners and we need a lot of cleansing from sin. It's the things of life. That's what connecting with God every day does. It keeps things fresh. It keeps our gut fresh. That's why fresh foods and fresh bread and fresh things, fresh fruit in the natural realm is good for us. So the same thing with God, having fresh, getting freshly cleansed, getting fleshly washed, get some of those things that, the thing that wounded me yesterday, the thing that discouraged me yesterday, make sure that that doesn't get stuck down in there and cause a problem. Because sometimes they cause, spiritual ulcers, spiritual, those kind of things, the spiritual damage. And so I thank you, Lord, for Jana, God, that you're touching her belly area right now in the name of Jesus. And the rivers of living water are going to flow up out of her, God. In the name of Jesus, tap into that. Wash and cleanse. And whatever's stopped up, whatever's grieving her, whatever's bothering her, whatever question she has and wonders, am I going to make it through this? Am I ever going to come through this? Am I ever going to come out on the other side of this thing? In Jesus' name, wash and cleanse her. And fill her with courage, God, in her gut. In the name of Jesus, and I command the grief and the sorrow and all the failures and mistakes that people have done and people have disappointed us, that those things not hinder you and not get stuck in your gut. In the name, there goes something right there, in Jesus' name. God, open it. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Open up, God. Move, cleanse, wash. Give her the wine of the Spirit, God. Give her the water of the Holy Spirit, the wine of the Spirit, God, the oil of the Spirit, God. Let her drink of that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Let the refreshing of the Lord refresh her, God. Refresh her, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring peace, Lord. Bring peace like a river floateth o'er her soul. Hallelujah. Peace like a river flooded o'er my soul. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Move, oh God. Move on your daughter tonight, Jesus. Fill her, flood her. Let your compassion move upon her, Jesus. May she be aware of her oneness with you, God. Her closeness to you, God. You're close to her. You're closer than a friend. You're closer than a brother. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. All right, 111, who am I talking to, your friend, please? Echo 111, are you there?
It's me, Carmen from Texas.
Oh, hey, Carmen. Okay. All right, thank you. We have several people, at different times people call 111. Sometimes Barbara from Texas calls 111. That's why I don't know if he's there, but it doesn't matter. But thank you, Carmen. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Blessed. Hallelujah. So what is good news? We know what good news is. It's what God is saying. Not what people call good news. Not what people have an image of God. It's the image of God that we have, that of him being who he is, talking to us straight, but with love, talking to us, you know, to give us what we need. You know, that's what a good God is. That's what good news is. Like if somebody, you know, kept telling you all the wrong things, all the wrong diagnoses, and oh yeah, you've got this and you got that, and you go spend all your money getting it all fixed and going to the doctor and all the stuff going on, and you never really get healed, just like a woman who had an issue of blood, with all the doctors spend all of her money. But it's got all the wrong diagnoses. So what is it? What's so cool about it is that you run across a person who gets the right diagnosis, you know, tells you the truth about it, tells you what's really going on, what's really happening, goes to the root of the issue. What happened? Man, you get healed. You get blessed. You get that favor going on. You get that glory of God going on. And oh my gosh, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. So thank you, Lord, for that. Those who bring good news, for Carmen, that good news lamb, God, and that people realize what good news really is, that it's not just saying, oh, you're so wonderful and you're so nice, you know, and everything's going to be just perfect, don't worry about a thing, peace, you know, and then sudden nothing happens, sudden destruction, sudden bunch of suddenly nothing happens. So I thank you, Lord, for that, for the those who bring good news, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like doctors. The good news doctors are those who find out what the problem is, tell you what it is, no matter how bad it is, what is going on, and then they get in there and deal with it. If it's a cancer, they cut it out. Amen. Yeah. Good news. All right. We're going to try to give people the image of a good God, what a good God is really like, instead of, you know, what men try to make him. All right. 919-995. Who want to talk to your friend, please?
Cheryl, North Carolina.
Hi, Cheryl. All right, Cheryl. All right, Cheryl, North Carolina. Thank you. All right. Thank you, God, for thank you, Jesus, for the understanding, God, of how to prepare people for what is to come. Whatever that thing is that's to come, it could be, you know, about the end times. It could be about, the kind of things that you feel like that are going to be happening and going to prepare people, to get people prepared. Because if people are prepared, they make it through stuff. If they're not prepared, they get caught off guard and they end up, you know, being destroyed or being really hurt in their wound. But sometimes they get into a state of shock, and sometimes they don't come out of it. I've seen people die of shock who didn't have one cut or laceration or anything damaging their body. They died from shock because they were in an accident. I should be run the ambulance in the fire department years ago. And we pick up people who've been in car accidents, and if what they saw devastated them, they'd die of just shock. Yeah, they would. They would die of shock. So, So helping prepare people for what's ahead. Help prepare people, just like with marriage. I want people to be prepared for marriage without putting fear on them, but put the awareness, you know, of, hey, you know, marriage is work. It's a lot of love, but it's a lot of work. And preparing people literally for marriage or for whatever, or for, you know, a business or a job or what's coming down the road. You know, to prepare people, prepare the way of the Lord, sister, prepare the way of the Lord. Whatever that's a little minor thing or it's a big thing, God's showing you how to prepare people and how to prepare them. And God's going to reward you for that. You know, when you do what God says, he rewards you. Amen? So, amen. All right, 484-521, can I talk to your friend, please? 484-521. Who am I talking to in front? Can't hear you. Four eight four five two one. Are you there? Are they sleeping? I can't tell. Sometimes it's sleep. I'm thinking, what is that? All right, 484. I think it's 484. God, I think it's 484 tonight. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the divine appointments that God showing you divine appointments. Sometimes divine appointments can be, you know, a rude awakening about something. Sometimes it can be something really good. But a divine appointment, you know, it's not just always something where you get goosebumps and you feel really good about everything. Sometimes it can be warning. Sometimes it can be, you know, hearing a message that wakes you up about something maybe you haven't been awakened to, you know, yet. And some people try to keep away all the bad news and just only want what they call good news. And sometimes some quote bad news can be really good news, right? Oh, that's bad news. I don't want to hear any bad news. Well, if God is saying there's some bad thing coming down the road, we want to be able to hear about that. So why? So we can get ready for it. It's all about getting ready and being prepared. And I thank you, Lord, for 44 tonight, God, to be able to connect into that thing of being prepared for things and opening them up to that place of correction when they need to correct somebody or when they need to correct something. I'm not talking about just you being corrected. We all need to be corrected, right? All the time. Yeah. That's the way that God does it. It's amazing. But to be able to correct situations that you're in, be able to correct the way, you know, sometimes we correct our course just a little bit. When we're driving, we drive. We have to correct the way we're doing, you know, we correct our course and we end up in the right place. Correct the way we do things. That way we get it done easier and better. Correcting things. You know, when God says correct something, and then we correct it, not because we're bad, stupid, whatever. It's because, you know, that's what life is. It's the correction of course, you know. Like we heard, you know, politically we heard, you know, things that there was a correction in course, you know. They were going to get Hillary Clinton in there, and what happened? Correction, of course. Got Donald Trump in there. That was a correction, of course. See what I'm saying? So God corrected, of course. And then, so corrections are not just about something I'm doing wrong that's bad or something, and I better straighten up. It's about correcting your course so that you get there faster, you get there easier, you get there, you know, and you get there. Just getting there is really important. So I thank you, Lord, for my friend, God, that you show them what they need to correct, what they need to adjust in their life to, you know, not keep up the same old results, but come up with some different results and end up getting where they're supposed to be, crossing over and moving in. Amen. When the bridegroom cries out, he's coming, that we don't jump up and not have our oil. But that we find ourselves obeying God and keeping our oil reserves full through our obedience to what God is saying. Amen. And doing what the Lord is saying, not what other people try to influence us to do. What is the Lord saying to us? Yeah. All right. 847-2239. Who am I talking to you from, please?
I'm Stephanie from Illinois.
Stephanie. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for the end of a thing. God will come to the ends of things. Sometimes it comes to the end of a thing is a good thing. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. But an end of a thing can be a good thing. An end of a thing can be a difficult thing, depending on what the end of the thing is. Sometimes we come to, you know, we come to a thing, like they came out of the wilderness, they came to the end of a thing and entered into a new thing. Sometimes that's good. You know, that's a good thing. So I see you coming into the end of some things to enter into some new things. I see you coming to the end of, you know, one of the things is how you try to figure things out that we don't understand. Bible things, biblical things, how God is, what God really like, how God works. Because our mind, God deals with us, like I said to somebody earlier, in parts. He'll deal with us about his love, and all we see is love, 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 love. All we see is love. Then we see judgment, 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 judgment. All we see is judgment. Like, God, which one is it? No, it's all of them. It's all of them. So he tries to, Jennifer tries to teach us how to, you know, get information from him and, you know, what's he doing? What's going on? You know, why is it 1 minute judgment, the next minute love? Why is it 1 minute, you know, he's forgiving everybody, and the next minute he's bringing wrath on people? You know, what is all that? Trying to figure all that out, it would drive you nuts. So we have to realize that God's thoughts are higher than ours, and we can't really figure out, you know, always look in the Bible and go, yeah, well, that means that. Sometimes we don't know. The mind of God can be so high, his thoughts are so high the way he deals with things. If we're not careful, we think, you know, God's unjust because of that particular thing. But when you look at it, we all know the Bible says God is a just God. So somehow or another, there was justice being brought there that we didn't know about, that we can't see with our eyes, that may not look like it from our perspective, but from God's perspective, he sees things from a whole different thing. And to be able to start, God wants to start, you know, to be able to see things, to be able to be a seer and see things the way God sees them, so that you don't come under the thing of false, you know, false emotion about something that, you know, why did God do that? You know, that's not just. Well, God is never not just, right? You know, so we know that. So we have to look at it and it's okay. So something must have been going on that I didn't know about, or God's doing something sovereignly that we don't understand. Because when God does something sovereignly, you know, it doesn't make sense. It's not always fair. It's not always what everybody can agree with or understand, right? Sometimes it's just like he decides it's time to do this, and he just does it. And then everybody starts to figure out, why did God do that? No, it's not right. We were not that bad. It wasn't that, but, you know, sometimes it has nothing to do with any of that. So being able to hear from God and know what's going on with all that helps us to have peace and understand God, that he's a just God. And he'll show us if we'll open our hearts. Amen? And if you open your eyes, I want to show you. I want you to be a seer, to see things and see it from his perspective, right? Not just to doctrinal conclusions. Because this is what man taught us, that God does and only does this, and then it's totally off, you know. When you read the whole Word of God, I don't know if you've read the whole Word of God or not, you probably have, but when you read the whole Word of God, you get a whole different perspective of God, with all the different ways he does things, deals with people, and he never does anything unjustly, always a blessing, always does things out of pure justice, and, you know, and sometimes you don't know why he's doing it. But there's a reason. All right, it's going to help you do that, see that, so you can help other people understand it too. All right, 402-214, who am I talking to your friend, please?
Hi, Randy. I'm sorry. It's Sharon, New York. I was laying there listening to your voice, and I thought maybe I missed you. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. Hey, you know, you're not the only one that does it. Other people check sometimes too. So good, everything good. All right, thank you, Jesus, for sharing, God. We thank you, Lord, for hindsight. But when we see hindsight, you know, we have to see hindsight through God's hindsight, right? Sometimes our hindsight's kind of like from our hind end, basically. It's just full of it, you know. I know mine is, at least. And so see things in hindsight, you know, is even in that, we have to look at it through God's eyes. Like, why did that happen to me? You know, I know you had a son died earlier, and so why did that happen? So to look back in hindsight and see this and see that, and what I do wrong, what they do wrong, you know, those are good questions to ask, because the disciples asked Jesus, you know, why is this man born blind? Was it the sin of his parents? You know, was it my sin, their sin, whose sin was it? Jesus said, you know what, none of them. That's what I like about the mind of God. It's just, you never know, man. Like, none of them? It's got to be somebody's. No, none of them. This one has nothing to do with it at all. And they were like going, man, he's got some false doctrine going on. He don't know what he's talking about. He did know what he was talking about. And so the mind of God, the thoughts of God, but looking at things in hindsight and trying to work it out. Sometimes we end up in condemnation and thinking, if I'd have done better, this, okay, well, you know, I don't understand anything unless God shows me. And sharing, the faster I've learned, how to know that I don't know unless God shows me, instead of just having some, you know, religious idea, which I've had about many things, you know, about why they did and didn't happen, and the Lord, later the Lord showed me, Randy had nothing to do with that. You looked at that completely. You were like looking for whose sin it was. You're like, you know, I was ready to blame myself, right? That's because of me. He said, I'm doing something. Those people were going the wrong direction, and I separated you from them because I'm having you go somewhere that they would not allow you to go. And so, you know, sometimes he does things that were difficult, very, very difficult for me, but he did it because he was putting me in a position where I could be to do what I do and go where I go and be what I am without, you know, a constant vexing all the time. So looking back in hindsight and seeing things. So God, I thank you for opening up Sharon's eyes, opening up my eyes to show me, show us, show her how to look at things, how to see things, not just think that she knows because she remembers everything, but to go to God and say, God, whose sin was it? He may surprise you and say, it wasn't sin. It was for the glory of God. And who knows what he's going to say. I'm not saying what he's going to say about it, but he's going to show you stuff. He wants to reveal to you that there was something deeper that, and that sometimes we just trust him. Sometimes we just keep after him until he shows us. You know, sometimes if we want to know bad enough, he'll tell you. And then sometimes when you find out, you're going like, man, I don't wish I hadn't known that. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes it's like, I wish I didn't know. Because I keep pressing God, I want to know about that. I want to know about that. And then when I find out, I'm going like, woo, even though it's good we find out. Because it always helps us, but it's sometimes difficult. But we blame ourselves for things that really sometimes has nothing to do with us, like that person's blindness, you know. And you go through scripture and you see that. So thank you, Lord, for giving her strength, giving her wisdom. Lord, all her fears, God, the fears that she had that, you know, when the fear of the Lord says, you know, you need to stop doing that because that's going to mess you up, and we keep doing it, we're going to realize that the fear that's coming on us, it's because we're not obeying God. We're not stopping doing what he's telling us to stop doing, and for whatever reason. And so it will end up having a result. You know, so it's not God bringing something on us. It's because we're not able to get free of that thing. It has nothing to do with our salvation. That has to do with maybe our time on the earth. And God's showing us how to, you know, clean this up and clean that up. And he's always doing that with me. I mean, from all kinds of ways, cleaning things up. Is showing me how to clean things up. Why? So that I will be able to live as long as he wants me to live and do his will on the earth. And once my job is done, I don't want to be here anymore. Once my job is done, I want to be like the two witnesses, and I want to be like John the Baptist, you know. When their job was done, off with their heads. Okay, yeah, bye. Thank you, Jesus. It was awesome. Yeah, amen. All right. 225-454, who am I talking to your friend, please?
Hi, this is Karen, and I have James on the phone when I walk over here.
No, you have what now? Who am I talking to, Sharon?
Karen.
Oh, Karen. Oh, hi, Karen. And you got who?
Yeah,
you want me to pray with who?
Me and my husband, James.
Oh, and your husband's name is what?
James.
Oh, hi, James. Yeah, James. All right,
good
to have you. All right, good. Let's go. We're going to pray for people tonight. We're not doing a lot of talking, but James, thank you guys for being on. Thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight and allowing me to pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for James. God, I thank you for James, God, that you, those divine moments in his life, God, that you're opening up those divine moments to where he can realize, you know, God was doing something, and I didn't catch it. You know, I mean, I've had so many of those, James, where God was doing something, and I just, you know, I'm asking, I'm praying hard, God, show me what to do, show me, and it was right in front of me the whole time, and yet I couldn't see it, you know, I mean, just like, duh, like, what's up with that? And so those things happen, you know, they really happen. They happen to all of us, and so, you know, so what we do is we realize that, oh, did I miss it? Am I ever going to get another chance? Yes. You know, God knows that we're just like dumb sheep sometimes, for sure. And so he understands that. He knows that. And so he's such a good shepherd that he gives us another chance. He gives us another opportunity you know, to do that thing. And this time we're going to, you know, open our eyes will be opened up and we'll be able to see, because sometimes it's growing. When you grow, James, when you grow in the Lord, what happens is your eyesight, your ability to perceive the things that are right in front of you. You know, back then we didn't see it. Now we start seeing things that are right in front of us. God says, yeah, I've got them right in front of you. I'm going to show you how to unlock the blessings that are right in front of you. I'm going to show you how to unlock and partake of the blessing. I've got the blessing of God right in front of you. And so, you know, when God calls two people together in marriage or and they both love God, that's a chance to unlock things. In our agreement together and our loving each other and our learning how to work with each other, you know, we unlock things. That's why it says, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000, because together we unlock things and make things bigger and better. But, of course, the enemy fights that like crazy. And so we have to ask the Lord to show us, you know, how do I, you know, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000? How do I be one with my two? You know, how do I be one? How do I be united? And God will show you. And so because sometimes the victory is right in front of us. And the way to get the victory is right in front of us, but we don't see it, you know. And so God, it's like with me. God opens my eyes and he says, you know, right here. This is. I'm going to be honest with you, James. Some of the things that God uses me the most for and on, I totally just rejected them. I rejected them. Like even doing this blog talk show right now, the person that turned me on to this, he just kept after me and on. He said, Randy, you're going to love this thing. He found it. He didn't get on it. But he found it. He said, this is for you. If you like to talk to people, you like to prophesy to people, you like to minister to people personally. He said, man, you can get people on the phone from all over the world. I said, I ain't going to mess with that cheap trash. Mess with that stuff. Are you kidding me? And I mean, he kept, and thank God, James, he kept after me, man. Because finally, he took me over to his house one time, took me over there. He said, okay, you go in the other room. I'm going to call you from this thing. He just kept after me about it. So finally, I said, you know, all sorts of, I said, okay, man. And I saw it, and I go, wow, I see what he's talking about right in front of me for months, and I never saw it, you know. And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, it just became the thing that I do the most of. I mean, this is what I do, you know, four nights a week. Instead of traveling and get buildings and, you know, going all the time, you know, I do this. It was just right in front of me the whole time. So, God, I thank you for James. I thank you for your love for him, Father, and his love for you. God, that love will open up his eyes. God, love will show him that when the boat that comes along will save us and carry us to safety, we just say, no, I'm waiting on God, you know, and God's sending them. God sends people to help us, and we don't see it. I know I haven't, but when he opens my eyes, thank God for those who persist, because then I finally see it. Thank God. Hallelujah. All right, my brother, bless you. In Jesus' name, you're blessed. My sister, God, bless her tonight. God, thank you, Jesus, for showing her that that stateliness. Stateliness? Hang on a second. Okay. All right. Stateliness. I'm just going to go stately. All right. Stately. Having a dignified, unhurried, and grand manner, majestic in manner and appearance. A stately processor. Okay, I don't know. I can't see that in my glass moment. Stately. That's what I heard of stately. Like having a dignified, unhurried, and grand manner, majestic in manner and appearance. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, my sister sees that about you, and that's part of her nature, part of who she is, part of what she does, part of her character, part of her nature, part of, you know, what she sees. What you see in the spirit, what we see in the spirit about God, we become those things. What we see in the spirit about God, we become. When you see his glory and what a blessing he is, and what a giver he is, and what a lover he is, and what a friend he is, and how glorious he is, how gracious he is, how patient he is, when we see that about God, we become that, as you know. So God, I thank you for my sister, that she, everything she sees about you, she becomes that. And we don't become God ever, of course, but we have the nature of God. We're being created in Christ's image, in his image and likeness. Thank you, Lord, that the things that she sees are the things that she becomes. Amen. It's not about believing in something. It's about seeing it and knowing it. And when you see and know it, those things about God, love and patience and kindness and being able to, you know, sometimes get angry in righteous anger and sin not. You know, the Bible says be angry but sin not. So you can be angry and not sin, right? It's kind of hard to do, for me at least. But so you learn how to, that mannerism about God, and what you see is what you become. And I thank you, Lord, for my sister, God, that's true with her, God, and what she sees, she becomes that in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, God bless you guys. All right, 954-580. Who am I talking to, your friend, please? Air code 954-580, are you there? 954-580. All right. Thank you, Lord. You may be dialing Tanya. I think I got them already. Yeah, I already got them. Is that dialing Tanya? I don't know. I think it is. All right, let's go up here to 863-808. I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Hey, Randy. This is Cheryl from Florida.
All right, Cheryl from Florida. I got Cheryl from Florida on with us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just see you in like a laid-back comfort thing. Laid back and comfortable, like you're laying back and resting, laying back. And I don't know if it's just kind of what the spirit of you, you know, God giving you that rest and that comfort, even when you're working hard and doing things like, you know, one thing with me is that when I'm going a lot, doing a lot of things, is to be able to, when I do rest, that I rest deep and I rest good. So I can get 3 hours of rest. And it's like I've rested 8 hours. If I'm resting in the spirit, you know, with God helping me and just giving me that peace and that rest. And I sense that with you. I sense that you're breaking through into a new place, to places that you've been before, but it's going to be new at the same time. And I see you like lay back with your socks on, like sitting back in a chair, just relaxing and, you know, enjoying and just like being, you know, restful. And not about being in control, but having things, like things are not out of control. You know what I'm saying? Things are not out of control. You're at peace, you're at rest. Maybe not perfect, but you're at rest about it. And, you know, being able to, you know, because when we don't get our rest, and I'm not just talking about physical rest, because a lot of people physically rest, but their mind never rests. So if our, a true Sabbath, is no matter what day it's on, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever it is, if you're not truly resting, if your mind's not resting, then you're really, your body's not resting, right? Because when your mind's active, your body's, you know, sending nerves and energy through there, and you're not really resting. So God teaching you how to enter into that rest from your mind, from your soul, so have to, you know, get in that place of that medicated mode, you know, like drink the wine of the spirit, you know, and get in that meditative state where you're, you know, God's medicating you, you know. Now, no, these men are not drunk. It's not even that time of the day. They're full of the Holy Spirit, you know. And so anyway, so that place of, you know, knowing that God's got it under control. You know, it took me years to get confidence that I could step out and do what I'm doing because it took a lot of confirmations. And I was kind of slow, you know, like Moses and like, you know, the people that we talk about all the time. The Gideon, it is, you know, it took supernatural confirmation. You got an angel sitting right there in front of him telling him, you're this, you're that. He's going like, no, I'm not that. I might be, but we got to prove it to me. You know, so when God proved it, when they started getting that proofing thing going, when they got the proof in the pudding, then they started relaxing a little bit more, like, okay, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this still, but God's with me, you know, so God's in control. And I'm not. So that's good. With God's in control, I know things are going to get done. When things need to be done, he's going to give me the energy and the ability to do it. So when I do it, I'm doing it even in a resting mode there. I may be using all my energy, I may be, but I'm doing it from my soul. It is not, it's resting. You know, my body's working, but my soul is resting. I think Jesus, when Jesus worked, he worked hard. Because he would, his mind would be, working, but not, with anxiety and stress and that kind of thing like we have. God knows, like we have. So doing things from the resting position, that's kind of what I think I saw you. I can see you in a resting position, like in a chair, resting in a resting position. But so this is a spiritual thing. So you're going to be, as you do your work, as you go forth, it's a new territory, a new place for you. Amen. The promised rest. Hallelujah. And then when that happens, then you start watching God move. It's like you do very little moving. We do move sometimes, but we do very little. In fact, the little moves you make, used to little moves will do little. Now little moves in rest mode does big. Little moves, big. Little moves, big. Big moves by God. Little moves from us. It takes a little bit of action, of faith, to create power, to create victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. 972-695. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. And will you please also pray for...
Hang on a second. Sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Pray for who? I'm sorry. I cut you off there.
Gianna.
Brianna?
Gianna.
Viana with a V, Viana?
No, Gianna with a G.
Oh, Gianna, sorry. I have a new earpiece, so I'm working on it. Thank you. Yeah, and Gianna, I will definitely do that. Thank you very much. All right, thank you, Terrence and Tanisha. We love you guys. Terrence and Tanisha do shows Wednesdays and Sundays. So tonight they weren't there because that's graduation with a daughter. Thought that was really, really cool. Anyway, thank you for Gianna. Lord, we just bless Gianna tonight, God. We thank you for Gianna to advance, that you're going to advance Gianna quickly because of the blessing of God. It's like somebody has gone before her and prepared the way. And when people prepare the way, that's what we're supposed to prepare the way. For people, whether it's our own families, our own children, whatever it is, the people that are like, the saints, when the saints prepare the way for other saints, like John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, even, they had nothing to do with kinfolk, but it had to do with the will of God. When the way is prepared, we can get our jobs done faster and get there easier and quicker. Why? Because the road has been made where we don't have to chop our way through with a machete to make our way through it. Somebody's already done that for us and prepared the way, and that she will appreciate that she will value that, she will walk in that in Jesus' name and honor that, knowing that those who have gone before her have been that way. She will grow into that, and when she has, raised his family and that, she will pass it on to them in Jesus' name to honor family and to bless those who have gone before us. Honor thy mother and father so that your life will go well with you. Because our mothers and fathers, if anything, want us to do better than what they did. And I thank you, Lord, that Gianna will, I don't really know who Gianna is. Name sounds really familiar, but that she will be the preparations for her, God, that she will realize that the way has been prepared for her and made her, gave her the ability to get there faster and easier and more successful. Amen, than a generation before her. So bless, heal, deliver, show, uncover in Jesus' name, and let her learn quick. So people who are ever learning but never come to the knowledge, may she ever learn and come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, what something needs to change, she changes it. Something needs to be different, she does it differently. When God says maintain that, then she maintains it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I speak that creativity inside of her, Gianna, in Jesus' name, that creativity that will deliver her from the hands of darkness and keep her into the hands of God's light, his glory. In Jesus' name, make her a glory buster. She busts in and brings the glory. She busts through the walls and says, you know, come on, y'all. I come here to help you. I've broken through the wall for you. Let's go. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for Terrence tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God. The encouragement, the courage that he's given other people, God, is going to come back to him. It's like when we give courage to other people, we give them the word, and when we lift them up and build them up and lay our lives down for them, that starts coming back to us sometimes. It's like we give our courage, give our love, and give our, you know, mainly the few, it's like giving courage, giving strength to people, building them up, you know. And so we go along for a while, and all of a sudden God decides, okay, it's time for the reward, for Terrence's reward, for the things that he's done. So I don't know if you've been able to listen to the reward ministry teaching that we've been doing in Revelation, but rewards are something that we definitely don't want to say, oh, I'm not in it for the rewards. Because the rewards are the things that he provides for us to do the will of God. So where God is taking you, Terrence, is going to take a lot of courage. Like Joshua, God had given him a lot of courage. Everybody needs courage, but Joshua needed a lot of courage because he was, you know, going to do some new things, going to break through some new walls. He still did warfare for God, but it was a different level, a different way. So he needed special courage because of his leadership position. So you've been giving courage, giving strength to other people. And now God says, I'm about to send the captain of the host, the arm of the Lord, to encourage you, to infuse you with a brand new courage, a new level of courage, because you're going to need it where I'm taking you, because it's courage that causes you to stand up and do the right thing and say the right thing and be the right thing in Jesus' name. So that new level of courage, God, for him this new season in Jesus' name. Because we need new levels of courage when we get breakthrough into new territory. Amen. More levels. Somebody said, I never said this, but I thought it was pretty cool. New levels, new devils. You know, I say, you could say new levels, I want to say the glory gets heavier. New levels, heavier glory. That's not as good as new levels of devils, but yeah, new levels, new weights of glory, the weight of glory that rests upon us for the mission ahead comes packed with Holy Ghost courage. Amen. Yeah, in Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord, for that, for Terrence. Thank you, Lord, for Tanisha, God. I thank you that the basket, her bread basket, I see your bread. I see a basket before me, like a basket you put bread in or something. All I know is it's a bread basket. And that bread basket, God, is bringing back to you, when Jesus broke the bread and gave it to the disciples, and then they gave out the bread, like you've been giving out the bread, you know, and even though Jesus instigated it, but the disciples followed through with it and gave the bread away, and the bread multiplied and increased. So what happened? They brought back 12 baskets full of bread. So all the, you know, giving God bread away, multiplying it, increasing it, not selling it, but giving it away, coming back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, in baskets full of bread for yourself. And bread meaning financials, bread meaning wisdom, bread meaning words from the Lord, bread meaning information from heaven, bread basket. He's making you a bread basket. Wow, that's really cool. Bread basket. That's awesome. All right. 864-313. Can I talk to you, friend, please?
Yeah, Walter from South Carolina.
Oh, hey, Walter. All right, good to have you, my brother. From the Carolinas. All right, my brother Walter, good to have you. We love you, man. Thank you, Jesus, for Walter. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him the right group. It can be, you know, whether two or three or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. You know, it's not about the numbers. It's about numbers are great. Numbers are fun. I love numbers. I love the big crowds and all. I love the excitement of all of it. It's amazing. But, you know, when it comes to getting somewhere and getting things done, the agreement of two or three, it's really all we need, the agreement of two or three. And so it's not about how many people we got praying for us. It's about those that really seeking the will of God, those who diligently seek him, and he gets them, he rewards them. So you enter into that those people who diligently seek God, because the Bible says, especially about the rewards, it says God rewards those who diligently seek him, diligently seeking him, diligently being. Let's look at that. I kind of know what diligently means, but you know what I'm saying. Let's look it up here. How do you spell that, diligent? Here it is right here. Diligence meaning, okay, there we go. Careful and persistent work or effort. Careful and persistent work or effort. Example of diligence. I'm just reading this to you. I'm Googling this, as you probably know. Diligence is defined as a determination and careful effort. An example of diligence is a person who does a job effectively and takes care of little details. All right, so God rewards those who diligently seek him. In other words, those who take care of the little things, you know, not just care about the big thing, care about the little thing. And diligence is defined as a determination and careful effort. So those who determinedly seek after God and carefully seek after him for the not just the big thing, but for the details, God rewards them. And so we realize that rewards are for those who diligently seek him. Why does God reward those who diligently seek him? Because they're obeying his voice. When you obey his voice, it brings provision for you to do the will of God. Right? When you need something, you keep obeying God. God, whatever you need, if what you need is the will of God, what you think you need is just what you think you need, it's not going to happen. But so God's rewards provide for us what God has need of for us. You know, he provides for us, you know, oh, God, I want a provision for that. But you get me for that. Okay, so you're providing for that. So there's something going on there. That's where you're rewarding me. That must be your will, because you provide. The rewards are provision for the will of God. So I thank you, Lord, for letting him see that, getting his eyes on the rewards of God instead of the rewards of men, the rewards of God. It's Jesus' name. So diligently seeking the two or three people, whatever you're going to bring him, where he can come into agreement with people so he can move forward and be rewarded so that he can get the provision he needs to do the will of God for his life, pay his bills and all that, everything, all of it. All right. Who am I talking to your friend, please? Hello. Hello, Destiny. I think they slipped off into glory land. All right, no problem. All right, thank you, Lord, 402. 650, we thank you, Jesus, for the times and the seasons, God, that you make my friend here aware of the times and seasons, God. It's in the wintertime you don't grow fruit. It's in the summertime that we grow fruit. All right, in the wintertime, everything takes a break. There's just different seasons in our life. We have to understand what season we're in, because we're trying to go out and grow, plant apple trees to grow apples during the wintertime. It's not going to work. It doesn't happen. All right, it happens, you know, in this season. So, God, show my friend the seasons and the times that they're in, so they will know what to expect and know what to do and know how to not try to get something happening that's not supposed to happen, right? To know the seasons that they're in. If they're in a season of rest, then you rest because, you know, God knows, you know, if you're supposed to be resting and you're, you know, getting up and running around, then all of a sudden you realize why God wanted you to rest, because now you're fixing to move to a season where you're really going to work a lot. So you think, you look back and go, man, I wish I'd have rested more, prepared for this. Exactly. So we learn to get – the seasons really have to do with what God has us to do and what's going on and the purpose of resting. Like when the trees rest during the wintertime, they rest. They take a break from bearing fruit. They work, you know, they kind of die in a sense. They go to sleep. And then at a certain time of the year, they come back alive again. So it's the same thing with that. We're not always bearing fruit all the time. Sometimes we've got pruning. We go through pruning times so that the next season we come, we bear fruit, bear more fruit. If God's interested in your fruit, in what comes to pass, what you and God do together, mainly his will. Fruit is the will of God. It's not just doing things and winning souls. a fruit is doing the will of God and getting it done successfully. And Jesus said, finish the work is what pleases my Father. To finish the work. And God, show my friend how to finish what you called him to do. And Jesus said, give him the strength to do it. And the dedication to you, God, to, and the love for what they're doing. To love the Lord like of all the heart. Amen. To help you understand who you are, what you're called to do. All right, 480-637, you want to talk to where you're from, please? Air code 480-637, are you there? All right. All right, 480-637. Thank you, Lord, for the dedication, God, the dedicating yourself. You know, like I sense God's having you rededicate yourself to him, you know, in that place of rededication where you, you know, you seek him and you find him. You know, it's like seeking God and finding God. So we go through times. Exactly, God. Before this, first before you, seasons. You have these seasons where we seek, and then all of a sudden we find. Then when you find, you got to figure out what to do with what you found. All right, you got to ask God. Okay, now that I found it, what do I do? Now that I got this woman, now that I got this man, you know, this human being in my life, what do I do with him? You know, what do I do? I don't know what to do. So always be knowledge, be learning and growing toward the things you're believing God for, learning about them, or growing toward them. That's part of the preparation. Sometimes preparation is what opens up the door. God doesn't think you're prepped and ready for something. He's not going to open the door for you. So there's something about learning, growing, you know, about relationships. What God wants to have a relationship, he wants us to learn and grow about that so he can open up that door because we're prepared and ready. We're not going to get into it and go, oh, God, what have I got myself into? Because we don't know what to do, right? I've had a few of those, maybe a lot. I didn't know what to do. God, you know, sometimes I make it through it successfully, sometimes not, because I wasn't quite prepared and ready. But thank you, Jesus, for my friend, God, of teaching him how to be ready, how to learn about the things that they're believing God for. Even if what you're learning is not all exactly right, perfect, it's the fact that you're, you know, you're trying, you're stepping out, you're trying to grow toward in that area, and it opens you up to God teaching you. Right, you may start out with man teaching you, but you end up with God teaching you, and that's what the big deal is. What's really important. All right, 682-738. Who am I talking to? Where you from?
Yes. Hey, Randy. This is LaShawn.
This who?
LaShawn. LaShawn.
Oh, LaShawn. Oh, hi, LaShawn. I'm sorry. Thank you, LaShawn. Good to have you tonight. All right. I know LaShawn has, she gets things from God about all kinds of things. She sent me a text the other day about the school shooting that she had seen something about that a few days ago or something. I remember exactly what that was, but that was amazing. You know, hopefully you're documenting those things or getting them out there where, you know, that's one thing I had to learn to do, LaShawn, was to get things that I was getting from God to get them out in the open where I could go back and say, yeah, you know, because we're not trying to prove things to people. But we're trying to prove, what we're trying to do is show that God shows us things before they happen. So when they do, that's what documentation is all about. As I know you already know about this, but I had to learn the realm of documentation, of documenting things. So I go back and say, yeah, here it is right here. I wrote it down. Here's the proof, the date, the time, you know, or I told these certain people and they'll, you know, get their testimony, whatever, to document things so that when things do happen, we go back and say, yeah, because what it does, it shows people that God knows. Not about how much we know, because we don't know, right? We only know what God shows us. So when God shows us, then it shows that God knows and how much he cares and his love and his protection and all that. And God really showing you how to walk in that and live in that and be a part of that. To, you know, sometimes God calls us to be a protector over certain things. Like some people are a protector over little children. You got some angels that protect little children. So you got some angels, some people who are called are protecting protect women. Some people are called to protect men. Some people are called to protect business or ministries or cities. You know what? It's all different things that we're called to protect that God calls us to. So God's really trying. He's really developing you into the thing of this. You know, you get the stuff about school shootings and that kind of thing. To you know how to perfect that to where the information He gives us brings some kind of benefit, bears some kind of fruit. Even if it doesn't stop the thing from happening, it can show that God knew about it, you know, and that He's watching over it. He's looking at you people to pray. I got a warning from God, praying about it. So that can bear fruit, you know. So instead of, 20 people getting killed, one person gets killed. You know what I'm saying? That kind of a thing where it bears fruit, you know. One person is too many, but if there's going to be 20, and now it's just now 19 of them didn't get killed, but just that one. I mean, that's a big thing. All because people prayed, because prophets, the people that hear from God, were, you know, learned how to document and prepare and share and talk. And so I'm still learning how to do that. But God's really showing you, training you, and using you for that. It's really awesome. Thank you, Lord, for showing her how to perfect that, for the glory of God. It's not about trying to prove how great we are or what a great, you know, woman of God that we are, but as much as it is knowing that the purpose of what we get that stuff is to show that God is intervening in lives, and He's using people to do it, but it's mainly about God's intervention. But just like all the prophets, everything was written down and documented. You know, the things that are happening now that will happen in the future were written down many years ago for a reason. They were documented by scribes. Some of the people, John the Revelator, wrote them down. You know, some things God said, don't write down, right? So we learned how to do all that stuff. Amen. He did a great job. And God really opening you up to that. Blessed be Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Through the glory of God. All right. 206-377. Who am I talking to? Read from, please.
Hi, Randy. It's Gina from Washington State.
Oh, hi, Gina. All right, Gina, good to have you. All right, good to have you. All right, let's go here, Gina. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Gina. Thank you, Lord, for her life. God, thank you for the spirit of deliverance. And delivering, bringing people, you know, bringing her out of things, bringing her through things. But deliverance doesn't mean like casting the devil out or getting delivered from devils or maybe the oppression of devils or whatever. It can also be, you know, God delivering you out of a circumstance, delivering out of your situations that were the enemy was trying to destroy you. He delivers you out of those things, or He brings you through them without destruction. You know, Joseph was delivered from, you know, his brothers were going to kill him. Back in those days, killing people wasn't anything like it is. Well, I think it used to be in America. You know, killing people was just like, you know, I mean, back in the old days, they stoned people just walking. They catch them in sin, they'd take them out and stone them right there. Not a big deal. You know, but it's like, that whole realm of, you know, of God bringing you to that place, Gina, where, you know, He's delivering you and showing you the way, like Moses delivered Israel from Egypt, out of Egypt, right? There's different ways. But God's showing you the deliverer in you, the deliverer in you. To deliver you, He delivers you. He delivered Moses from the hand of Pharaoh. He took him out in the wilderness, met him in the bush. He took him back. You know, because Moses knew he was called to be a deliverer. He just didn't. When he killed the Egyptian in the land of Egypt, and he had to run for that, he was trying to practice what he was. He just wasn't sure how it worked, but he was working it. But he messed up, so he got out in the wilderness for 40 years, and there God met him and said, "Yeah, you're a deliverer, all right. But I'm going to show you a different way to do it. You're not going to be killing the Egyptians. I'm going to be dealing with Egypt. You know, I'm going to use you as throw your rod down and do what I say." So delivers you. So I thank you, Lord, for the deliverer inside of Gina, through her, in her, around her, delivering her, showing her through, that you've delivered her to protect her and keep her for how you're going to use her, God, in Jesus' name. and open up her life to how God delivers things into our hands, how God delivers us from evil. For that is the kingdom of the power that delivers from evil, right? So thank you for showing her all the things about delivering and being delivered and delivering others, helping people get delivered. Amen. And so in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that anointing in her life, for calling her life, for the blessing in her life. In Jesus' name, of delivering and deliverance, that she will connect to that personally and realize and see how God is a deliverer in and around and through her, bringing her through things, delivering her through things, as well as using her to help deliver other people from, you know, spending years in prison, from committing suicide, delivering people from making wrong decisions and stupid decisions. You know, delivering has a lot of different meanings to it. So thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, bless her. Give her courage, God, to do the right things at the right time. Amen. At the right time. Yeah, at the right time. Doing the right things at the right time. All right. The right time makes it. We don't want to be too late, right? The foolish virgins, they were too late. They had oil, but they didn't get enough. They weren't walking in obedience to God and keeping their oil reserves full by, you know, doing what God says. They piddled around. All right. So, all right. God bless everybody. I think that's going to be it for the night. It's my last caller, as far as I can see. So thank you for being here. The rest of you do not have your hand up. So if you don't have your hand up, I'm not going to mess with you. I'm not going to interfere with you. For whatever reason, you don't have your hand up, I don't know, but it's okay. You don't have to. All right, so because of that, I'm going to call it tonight. It's 12, it's midnight. In the midnight hour. I'm going to take a shower. Yeah. Shower everything from the world off me. Get clean. I already actually did that, but. All right, we've got a caller with her hand up. All right, 111. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hello, Prophet Randy. It's Barbara from Texas.
Oh, hey, Barbara. All right, good to have you tonight, Barbara. All right, thank you, Jesus. I see you marking things off, like putting an X on something, like marking that off, marking that off, marking that off. Like sometimes we get, you know, we do certain things, and God says, mark that off, and we go, that's done. And making a, you know, like a list of things that have been accomplished and the things that haven't been, and kind of break it down to kind of regroup it. Like, sometimes I get overwhelmed because I got in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I got to do this and got to do that. And then the Lord says, okay, you did this, you did that, did this. So why don't you make your list shorter so you don't feel so overwhelmed? And I'm like, good idea. So I go through my mind, I go through my whatever, and I think, okay, that was accomplished. Okay, I didn't quite finish accomplishing that. Let's work on that, finish that up, you know, and I have to work really hard at that because that's one of my weaknesses, you know, I have to really work hard at that. So thank you, Jesus, for showing Barbara how to just X off things and say, I did that, take that burden off of her, knowing that that's either been accomplished or that it didn't work for now. We're going to go back at another time. Sometimes, you know, there's time in the season thing. When the season runs out of something, it wasn't completed. It's not our fault. You know, the people, the things that you're dealing with, sometimes they delayed, they did whatever. Nothing we can do about it. We did our job. We mark it off as, okay. And so, and then thank you, Jesus, for the things that are unfinished, things that we almost finished, whatever. And we go in and we say, God, you know, Jesus said, what pleased the Father is that I finished the work. So I can't finish it. I can try to finish it. I can try to help people do the thing, but if they don't yield to it, nothing I can do about it. Right? He said, yep. It's like Jesus. Jesus gave his life, but some people don't receive him. It's not his fault. He paid the price. He did his part. You know, we got to let God set us free in that and not receive, you know, condemnation, that kind of thing, from the failures of people. Because you think Jesus failed? Jesus didn't fail at all. He completely gave his life in every way, loved, healed, delivered, proved himself in every way as a beautiful, loving, perfected man of God, right? And so, people don't receive him, they go to hell. That's not his fault. And believe me, he doesn't sit around going, "Oh God, I feel bad because that person didn't make it." You know what's going on? He doesn't feel bad at all. But he knows that he did all he could, and his justice was, you know, he's a just God, and he does everything and did everything he could to get those things right. So we do the same thing. We do all we know to do, and we do it. That's it, man. Like, no condemnation, no nothing. Thank you, Jesus. You know, like, can't, you know, it's sad, but we can't change it. People are people. They have the right to do whatever they want to do. All we can do is put up the signs, say the stuff God tells us to say, and hopefully they'll listen. If they don't, not our fault. I don't know why I keep saying that. I seem like I repeated that information before. I'm repeating myself a little bit. I'm not sure exactly, but God did something wonderful, so I know you understand. Amen. And God, I thank you, Lord, for blessing her money, bless her finances. God, bless her. We get that those are rewards that we talk about. The rewards are not just, it's not just a bunch of money we get. Oh, that's be awesome. But it's about everything to do the will of God. Amen. To do the will of God, you need a house you can rest in, it paid off, you know, and everything you need to travel and go do whatever you need to do. You know, that's God's rewards. It's the provision to get a car or, you know, get a house, whatever, to get us where he wants us to be, right? Whatever that is. If we get a job, go to a job every day, and we need a car or somehow maybe catch the bus or something, he gives us a way to do that. He opens it up with his rewards. Because God tests us along the way to see if we'll do every little thing he tells us. We do the little things as well as the big things. He says, I can really trust you. Amen. All right, y'all. Good. Very good. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Amen. I'll take that. All right, y'all. Y'all don't have your hand up. I'm not gonna call on you if you don't have your hand up. You know how we do it around here. Okay. Yeah. Soon and very soon. Y'all, I guess I'm going to call it a night. I think I'm trying to hang on and be there for you. Should I make sure I don't miss you? But if people don't call in, right? I know they can't call into the show because it's hard too late to call into the show. They can put their hand up if they want to. All right. All right. Good night, everybody. See you tomorrow. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.